This is Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Cougar Postgame Live is brought to you by Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. Cougar Postgame Live is also brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Welcome back to Waco. BYU wins in Waco for the first time ever. The Cougars lost here in 1983 with a great Steve Young team and never lost again that season. And then BYU lost here in 2021 and 3 years later comes back and shows how far they've come. And it was in 2021 that Baylor kind of showed BYU what Power Conference football was all about and winning 38-24. And, you know, that score might have even flattered BYU a bit. And today BYU was out to a 21-0 lead, 28-7 lead. Ultimately, the Cougars just hang on because they were outscored 14-3 after halftime. But when the defense had to stand tall, that's exactly what the defense did in helping to seal today's deal. Let's get to today's postgame honorees. Love giving these to you, and Hans loves the chance to shine the light on great BYU players in the segment. Let's start with our Waystar Star of the Game. It's brought to you by Waystar, simplifying healthcare payments. Learn more at waystar.com. Who do you like for a Waystar Star of this game, Hans?
Okay, this is going to be outside the box. But
you're that kind of guy, though.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Outside the tackle box. Or is it inside the tackle box?
Actually,
inside the tackle box, but outside the box.
It is. I'm going to go Tyler Batty.
I thought you were going this way.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tyler Batty. I just feel like he deserves it. You know.
Do you want numbers?
Yeah, I would. Give me some Tyler Batty stats.
Okay, I'll give numbers, then you give us the narration.
I'm curious where he finished.
So, four tackles, all of them solo.
Okay.
Among his tackles, a sack, which also goes for a TFL, and he had a hurry.
In a hurry. So that sack and that hurry were back-to-back, and they were in that closing moment. But he was so good in holding the edge. He was so good in giving run support and allowing his linebackers to do work. And I just love Tyler Batty. Let me tell you why I'm so impressed with Tyler. Tyler's been placed into a different role this year. I don't know how much people are seeing it or how much they know. But when you're that close side defensive end, not really a pass rush threat. That's not your expertise. What you become is almost a two-gap DN. That's what you become. It's your responsibility to hold that tackle and make sure that guard doesn't get off clean. But that's why you're seeing 57 shared tacks from those tackles from those linebackers coming into this game, because Tyler Batty is the staple.
By the way, at BYU Foam Finger on Twitter, X wrote in and said, Hans can loosen the belt and tie now.
There we go, man. Oh, my gosh. My belly's full.
There were some sweating. Tense moments there, weren't there?
I'm sweating a little bit. I've taken the tie off.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, great.
Wow, it was a game that, well, you know, again, the lead came so early. You're like, well, can you just play this way to finish it out? I thought when it got to 28-7, they were just in a really good spot. Yep. But never out of the woods, right? Yep. And then the way the second half went, the takeaways, the picks thrown, is like, oh, they're keeping them in. Baylor literally had a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter with the football.
Did Baylor score on their opening drive of the second half? Was that their multiple fourth down attempts and their eventual score?
Touchdown on their first drive of the second half, yeah. So they were back in it. Like, they were showing we are here.
They went for fourth down two times in that drive before they finally found the end zone.
There was a third and 12 and two fourth downs on that drive. Like, they stayed in the game on that drive. There were so many moments where you felt like they had it. Just had to make one more play, and then and Baylor did get down. They got down to the BYU 24-yard line in those closing moments with a chance to convert on fourth down and did not make it. And it was as tense as they come, because things were slipping away from BYU, but they hung on, these guys did. All right, Metal Mart Steel Man of the Game, brought to you by Palmer's Metal Mart, your local metal supplier for over 26 years. Who do you like for the Palmer's Metal Mart Steel Man of this game?
Well, I don't know how crazy it would be to go with Crew Wakely, but when you are sitting at two deep safety and you find your way into that interception and you end this game and quarterback pressures.
Let's do it, because Crew had four tackles, all of them solo. The sack, which is also a TFL, first career sack, and the INT to lock this one up.
I like it. I know, like, going all defensive on our awards, it may be a little bit crazy, but
it was that kind of day.
It was. It's that kind of day. When your defense, how many times were they called on to get stops, to change this game? against a Baylor team that's playing desperate against Sawyer Robertson, who had an entire week. He's actually, this was his second full week with starter reps and starter preparation. So he probably was feeling quite a bit more confident coming into this game. Your defense, it was stacked against them. So we're going both defenders.
Okay, Tyler Batty and Crew Wakely, the Waystar star of the game and the Palmer's Metal Mark steel man of the game. BYU fans, when the Cougars win, you win with Papa John's Pizza. Use the online promo code BYU50 on the app or at papajohns.com this Monday and receive 50% off of pizza. This offer is good at any Utah location, but only Monday. So Monday, this Monday, go online, papajohns.com, and use the promo code BYU50 or use the app to use the same deal. BYU50 is your code. When the Cougars win, you win with Papa John's. BYU wins 34-28. That is our final score. Much more postgame coverage coming up from McLean Stadium here in Waco on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Greg Wrubell.
All right, so welcome back to McLean Stadium here in Waco, Texas. BYU's a winner over the Baylor Bears, 34-28. So 10 straight ranked losses for Baylor. Dave Aranda's had a tough go against the ranked team since that Big 12 championship winning year of 2021. 10 straight losses to ranked teams. And yeah, BYU came in ranked at 22. Who knows what they will do with the next polls coming out tomorrow. I think you picked at hands last week. Didn't you say as we were wrapping up, you thought BYU would be 22 on Sunday, and they were?
I did. I got it at 22. And I actually think they're going to take a nice little jump. I think that they cracked the top 20. So it's either 20 or 19. I think that this entire country is going to start to take a look at this BYU defense. And now you've got road games against Baylor and SMU, two Texas road games. Jeez, man, you know how hard it is to win in a Texas stadium? It's really tough to come into this state and get a win. So I think people are going to really start to take notice on them.
Official attendance just under 40,000, 39,583. BYU's a winner, 34-28. So Duff Tittle, BYU's fine athletic communications specialist, informing our Mitchell Juergens down on the field so we can inform you. This is the eighth time that BYU started 5-0 or better. Lavelle did it three times. Gary Croton did it once. Bronco did it once. And Kalani's now done it three times. Kalani was 9-0 to open 2020, 5-0 to open 2021, and now 5-0 to open 2024. So three times in the last 5 years, BYU's gotten off to a 5-0 start.
I'd like to know the other 5-0s for Kalani just to be able to compare the difficulty of schedule.
Yeah, so in 2020, this was the COVID year, right? So you're just trying to find games.
Yeah.
It was at Navy, home to Troy, home to La Tech, home to UTSA at Houston.
Not overly.
That was the 5-0 then.
Not overly impressive.
You're just looking to play anybody, right?
Yep, right.
2021, the 5-0 was, these were some fun ones. It was Arizona in Vegas.
Very good.
Home to Utah.
Oh, man, big win.
Home over ASU.
Oh, jeez.
South Florida.
Oh, this was the year that you swept the Pac-12.
Home versus UCF and then at Utah State, so 5-0 that year. And then they went on to win at Washington State and at USC in that Pac-12 sweep that year.
Uh-huh.
So again, the five games that year, Arizona, Utah, Arizona State, Pac-12, then UCF and Utah State to get to 5-0. Then they lost two in a row, then won five in a row. And then lost that funny bowl game to UAB in the rain in Shreveport.
Oh, that was the worst, that bowl game.
And by the way, that game, that UAB game, it's good that we bring that up because that began the string of 10 straight day game losses for BYU.
Oh.
That UAB bowl game.
Okay.
And so the Cougars end that streak with the win today.
The Independence Bowl. Was that the Independence Bowl, right? That's
yeah, in Shreveport.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in that stadium. I called that game, and that was just miserable.
Yeah, I called that game, too.
Yeah.
We weren't calling it together, though.
We were booth to booth.
We were not together. God, Hans was on the national call that day.
That was fun.
All right, let's do this. Let's head down to field level, and the headset is on the man who was our guest on the Kalani Sitake show this week. We had a fun hour with Darius Lassiter on Tuesday, and we had a fun few hours with Darius Lassiter today. Darius on the headset down to the field. Greg and Hans upstairs. Hi, Darius.
What's up?
What is up? Wow.
Wow.
Your thoughts on being 5-0?
Man, it's a great feeling. Everybody's in there juiced up. We deserved this when we went out there and executed all three levels of the game. So we're not surprised by the end results.
And it's wild the way this game went, right? Because the offense just opens up on fire.
Yeah.
Defense gives you a short field in there, too. But, man, you're up 21-0, 28-7. Special teams plays a part. There's a 70-yard punt. There's a 54-yard field goal. And then the defense, man, time after time, second half, standing tall.
Yeah.
You just called it, man. It was a three-phase win, wasn't it?
Yes, most definitely. When you got defense like that, then go out there. And when we not – in the fourth, not doing too much on offense, and we just got to lean on those guys, and they always gonna come through for us. Special team Sam with the big boomer to set the defense up with great position. So their offense had their back against the wall. So I'm so proud of this team, how we continue to fight. Even though we was up early, we didn't let that discourage us when they was coming back.
Darius, 8 catches, 120 yards, a touchdown. You had the long of 44. Just tell me how you're feeling about your personal performance today.
I'm feeling great. I had a couple get away from me that I normally don't do. So I just had to brush those off and continue to make plays for the team and just stay out of my head from that because sometimes drops can linger and they can affect you. So it's either how you can move forward or you're gonna keep dwelling on the past. So I feel great. I feel like I still a lot more I can do on the field. And so I'm just excited to get this bye week and then come back later after that.
Jake and Coach Robert kept going back to you, though. That has to feel good, right?
Yeah, most definitely. To see Coach A-Rod and Jake to have that trust in me to make that play, even though I had that drop, and then they came right back to me like the next play, and I had to catch. So that just shows the trust level between me and Jake.
Darius, did they open up with the protections you expected to see them open up with?
Yeah, most definitely. The whole week, we kind of knew what to expect and how they was going to play us, and everything that we worked on was there. So I think that's how we got out there on the quick early start. And then from there, they made their adjustments, and so we had to just move off that.
All right, you lose Connor Pay earlier in the game. You're starting center. They're rotating guards there when Sonny went out for a bit, or rather Waylon went out for a bit, I should say. Sonny comes back. You guys are kind of like changing pieces up there, but everybody performs.
Yeah, that just shows you the depth of this team and how we got a lot of guys that can go and step up when we need them the most and when injuries come, because they do happen. So I'm proud of how Sonny came in, stepped in the center, and Austin at guard as well.
And no sacks allowed by BYU today. And this was a Baylor team that sacked Shedeur Sanders 8 times last week.
Yeah, that was a big goal for us. The O-line, they knew what Baylor did last week in the Colorado game. But so they challenged themselves to not give up a single one. So, and that's what they did. Mission accomplished.
So, Darius, I think the defense travels well, and you win games with defense on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But my take was an early kick, it would have been a 10 a.m. Mountain Time or your time kick, an 11 a.m. kick. My take was it comes down to the seniors.
Yeah.
And you're one of those leaders. How much did you guys put it on yourself to get this team ready for this 11 a.m. kick?
I think just us looking out for the guys and making sure everybody is up and ready to attack today. I think that was the biggest thing for the leaders to do on this team for us. Not where we just wanted to put everything on our shoulders, because at the end of the day, we had to rely on our young guys, which our young guys came in and stepped up. So I feel like we just had to put everybody in the right mind space, and then everything's going to fall into the pieces right there.
Great work by you and the guys today, Darius. Congrats on being 5-0. Enjoy the bye week.
Thank you.
Proud of you, Darius.
So Darius Lassiter. We'll come back with Jake Retzloff on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Let's rejoin Greg Wrubell and Hans Olsen for more Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
For the third time in the last 5 years, BYU's 5-0 to open the season. BYU gets to 5-0, picking up its first ever Big 12 away win today here in Waco. 34-28 Cougs over the Baylor Bears. BYU quarterback Jake Retzloff popping on the headset from field level. Jake, Greg, and Hans upstairs, congrats to you and the guys. Great win.
Thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun tonight.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to call, a lot of fun to play, and I'm sure. And you love those games when every unit kind of does its part. We kind of talked with Darius about how offense, defense, special teams, they all had a huge hand in this win today.
Yeah, and so did Darius Lassiter.
Yeah, he was great. Hey, just curious about this, Jake. Now, you moved to 5-0. What does 5-0 feel like right now?
It just feels good, man. And like Coach Kalani says, that's statement number five. We got a lot more statements to make this season. So, yeah, it's good to come into the bye week undefeated. That's always a good thing. Can't complain with that. But, you know, we're going to attack this bye week, not like an off week, but like a work week, so we can be prepared for who Arizona at home. That's going to be a fun one, probably under the lights like every game at home, which is awesome. But, yeah, it feels good, man. It's awesome, and I believe 4.5 was the win total, so Vegas, you're welcome.
Well, again, Vegas has been wrong, you could argue, 5 times in 5 weeks this year. BYU's now 5-0 against the spread. All right, so this was a tale of two halves in a way. You got out to such a great start, right? You're scoring on your first possession. You're up 31-14 at halftime. The points and drives weren't as free-flowing in the second half. How did you see how Baylor defended you half one versus half two? Or is it just a 60-minute game and you have these ups and downs?
You know, 60-minute game for sure, but, you know, that defense kind of buckled down in the second half there and played well. I mean, we knew that was going to be a tough team to play at home, especially here in Waco. You know, they kind of knuckled down and said, we're going to stop the run in the second half because we were running the ball pretty well in that first half. I think it was over 5 yards a carry or something like that, really well between the backs. And me, too, I guess. I'm a little bit of running back right now. But, I mean, that defense did a good job in the second half making adjustments, seeing what they saw and kind of getting in the gaps before we get there. I think that they showed a little different front in there in the second half that we weren't expecting it, but we didn't expect to see so much of it. You know, and so we got to execute better in the second half, no doubt, and it starts with the quarterback position with me.
So, Jake, I want you to take all of our listeners into the huddle and into the moment where you lose Connor Pay and Moccasini comes in and he's sending back the shotgun snaps. How much changes and how difficult is it as a quarterback to have a center change in the first drive or two of a game?
I'm going to disappoint you guys. Number one, Connor's a really good player, and he's awesome when he's out on the field. But when we get in the huddle with Sonny at center, there is no difference and no flinch. This team is so deep and plays so well together and plays for each other in so many ways that there is not a huge difference in the huddle. The guys are confident in Sonny at center. I mean, he's bounced around from position to position. We had a little bit of an O-line shuffle tonight because, you know, Waylon went down for a second there, was able to get back up, thankfully. But the belief in the guy next to you is an all-time high. This family is so close together. This brotherhood is second to none in the country. And so when Sonny comes in, we believe in him 100%. We love Connor. I don't want to understate Connor. Connor's an incredible player, and I can't wait for him to get out and praying for him to get healthy soon. But there's no flinch with this offense.
Okay, what to you ends up being the biggest takeaway from this game?
You know, we want to kind of put together the last two games. We had a great start this week and a great finish last week. We want to be able to have a great start and a great finish in a whole game. And I think that this team can easily do it. And so it's just about getting that done. It's about when we go out and score early, we have to be ready for their adjustments. We have to know what's coming before it comes and execute on offense. And so I'm proud of the guys defensively tonight for getting those two stops late in the game off of a bogus unsportsmanlike penalty call. But they did a great job tonight, and I think the offense executed really well early, and they will continue to execute. We will continue to execute late in the games, too.
Okay, last thing for me, one thing from Hans, we'll let you go. First Big 12 away win. You guys were mindful, right, of that it had to come?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I congratulated Kalani right in the locker room before we even brought it up at the end, and Coach Kalani mentioned it when everybody brought up. And, you know, it's obviously a milestone, and that's what you get. You're going to get a lot of milestones with this team because this team is special.
Okay, Jake, I just want to get a thought from you on your defense. How much does your defense's ability change the way you play the game at the quarterback position?
I just get to be at ease. I don't have to be on the field thinking I got to score every possession. We want to score every possession, and we did for the first almost half of that game. But it's nice to be able to know that, okay, we didn't get it done. We may have got a couple first downs. Let's pin them deep defense, go get after them. And the guy standing right next to me, Tyler Batty, had his first sack tonight, I believe, and we know that he's going to have a lot more in the future and should have had one before now.
We'll be chatting with Tyler in just a couple of minutes. Jake, thanks again. Congrats. Enjoy the bye week.
Yeah, appreciate
great stuff.
Guys.
All right, thank you. That's Jake Retzlaff. We will come back as we continue on Hyundai Cougar Postgame Live. BYU is a winner over the Baylor Bears, 34-28. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. See your Utah Hyundai dealers, proud partner of BYU Athletics. We will come back and hear from Tyler Batty in 60 seconds on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Alongside Hans Olsen, here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, with more Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Tyler Batty's on the headset. We're going to get to Tyler right after we take a 10-second break for station ID on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is BYU Radio on KBYU FM HD2 Provo. You're listening to BYU Football on BYU Radio.
Welcome back to McLean Stadium, Waco, Texas. BYU 34, Baylor 28 is our final. Well, he was our Waystar star of the game today. Tyler Batty is on the headset at field level. Tyler, Greg and Hans upstairs. Congratulations to you and the team. Really nice win today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
What is the what feels best right now? Being 5-0, winning an away game, winning a day game. I don't know what's hitting you right now.
5-0, baby.
And the first thing Retzloff said was, "Yeah, Vegas had us at 4.5." I mean, that guy's out to prove something, Tyler.
Absolutely, man. You look at this team, dude. You look at the work that we put in the offseason. These guys know what they've sacrificed, what they've given, and they expect certain things because of that, right? And so guys will not be happy unless those expectations are met. Dude, we got a bunch of competitors on this team, so.
And we know that you were not going to be happy this season unless you got into the backfield a few times, and that first sack this year had to feel pretty good.
It felt great, man. It felt great, you know. If they quit tackling me, I might be able to get a couple more.
They were tackling you, and you drew the holding call in a critical moment, too. Take us through that moment.
Yeah, no, hey, it's the end of the game, and at that point, it's just all out. You're giving it everything you can, you know, setting those tackles up. That was their replacement. That was their replacement tackle there, and so we've just been selling a lot of power. This field was a little slippery today, so it's hard to get around the edges. You're trying to cut the edge, and your feet are slipping out. So there's a lot of power, and on that one just went push-pull on him, and he ended up just grabbing me from behind. You can't do that. So
Well, on the very next play, you split the double, and you almost got the pressure on the very next play, too.
I was about to say, had he held that ball for a second longer and not thrown it to Crew,
yep,
he would have been hurting again.
Yep, I know. You got the pressure on that very next play. I mean, that's why we ended up giving you the player of the game. Greg and I gave you the player of the game because those pressures along with your sack. You know, I want to tell you this, Tyler. Out of anybody on this field right now, offensively or defensively, I want to play this football game with you. Because I'm telling you, because you do so many things to set up the D-tackles, to set up the linebackers. You do it so selflessly. You know, I was talking about this during the week on my show. I was talking about how you have set up these backers to have 57 tackles. You've set up these backers to have 4 or 5 sacks. And you just do what you're asked to do. And that's got to be hard at times, Tyler, but just talk about playing selflessly and doing it for your teammates.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. That realistically was the focus of our game today. And, you know, we had struggles. And, you know, we had a talk pregame, you know, before we even came out. You know, it was just, hey, put the team first. Do whatever it takes. I mean, you know, it's just, that's what it takes. Great teams, you know, guys have to sacrifice, and there can't be a bunch of individuals, right? Yep. What it comes down to is guys saying, hey, man, what can I do to help? And that is who we have in the locker room, man. I'm inspired by our guys. You know, you asked me about that, but I'm just inspired by our guys because they all do it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Our DBs, oh, hey, dude, you need to cover – you need me to pretty much cover 2 deep threats and make something happen and protect us. Like, hey, they'll get it done. And there's no complaining. There's no pointing fingers. Dudes are just here, and they're willing to do whatever it takes, and that's what's so special.
You know, Tyler, it takes a village. The offense had its moments today, obviously, in scoring 34 and getting out 21-0. The special teams had so many great plays today, the fake, the long punt, the long field goal. But, man, the defense, it was kind of up to you guys to go kind of seal this deal again today. And the guy behind you we're going to talk to in a minute in Crew Wakely, he locks it up. But that responsibility and that feeling of, all right, guys, if we're going to win today, we got to make a stop on this drive. What's it like to go out with the 10 of your brothers and go, it's up to us?
Dude, it's the best feeling in the world. You know, the weight of the world is on your shoulders, right? And it's just like, hey, that's what I love about defense. It's like, hey, man, if they don't score, we win, right? So, like, let's go do it. And we struggled, right? We were saying that from the get when we were up 21-0. Like, hey, they don't score, we win. And we struggled. But these guys don't quit. You know what I mean? they don't quit. And so when we go out on those last two drives, you know what I mean? And we knew we had to get back out there for that last drive. Was just, hey, it's on us. That's the way we like it. Let's go take care of business.
We love watching you and the guys play and do your thing, Tyler. Congrats again.
I see the work you're doing, Tyler, and I keep talking about it every week on the show. You just keep doing your week, your work. I'll keep advertising it, and you're going to get everything you want in life, brother. You just keep doing it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Tyler.
Have a good one.
That's Tyler Batty, Crew Wakely next here on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Alongside Hans Olsen, here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, with more Cougar postgame live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
BYU 34, Baylor 28. The 22nd-ranked Cougs go to 5-0 and go to 2-0 in the Big 12, get their first ever Big 12 away win. He was our Palmer's Metal Mart Steel Man of the Game today, Crew Wakely, joining us on the headset from field level. We think Crew had his second career pick and first career sack today. Do those numbers sound right to you, Crew?
Yes, they do.
Okay, good. Well, first of all, how fantastic to be able to win the game or lock it down with a defensive play, and when that ball's in the air, maybe you could describe what you were seeing, what your assignment was, and where you needed to be.
Yeah, so crazy enough, it was actually a call it was a defense we haven't run all game. So call comes in, it's a call I love because it puts me in the deep third. So we're just rolling to the boundary, deep thirds, and it was one of those things where you see that ball in the air. I had told Talon Alfrey on the sideline, I was like, he's like, hey, we're going to have to go on defense again. I said, good, I want a chance to end the game. You know what I mean? Like, kind of just joking, but, like, not really. Like, that's, yes. You know, I'm trying to speak it into existence. So when that call came, I was like, all right, sweet, because I know they're going to the boundary trying to stop the clock, right? And then the only thing I didn't know was how deep they were going to throw the ball. But, you know, I'm in my deep third, and then shout out to Mark Collins, the corner, because he funnels that thing to me perfectly. So his job is to be hard on the outside and funnel that into me. So he did that great job. And then the D-line obviously put pressure on the Q, just forced him to throw it. He's trying to make play. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be the one in the position to go and get the ball. But a lot of people don't understand. I had, you know, 10 other dudes out there making a lot of – doing their assignment, which allowed me to do my job and made it easy on me. So when I saw that ball in the air, I was like, I got to go get this. This is the one. This is the one you always dream of as a kid. So, I was just fortunate enough to be in that situation and take advantage of the opportunity I had.
Well, somebody here on Twitter, X, Jake D. Snake, says, make sure you introduce him as former Jordan Beat Digger Crew Wakely. So shout out to Jordan.
Yes, sir.
They need that shout. They need that love right now. Hey, Crew, I want to go into just a couple of different plays. I'm hoping someday we mention, where were you when the fake punt went down on the road against Baylor? But where were you, and what were your thoughts when you saw that fake go down?
I was sitting on the bench because I wasn't scripted to go in that series, so I'm sitting there just kind of hanging out. And I was actually talking to Jack Kelly was it. I was talking to one of the linebackers anyways, and I look up. I thought it was third down. I just look up, and I see someone scrambling. I thought it was Retzloff. I'm like, oh, man, Retzloff is really moving here. I'm like, heck, yeah, Retzloff got the first down. And then I see it's Sam. I'm like, oh, what the heck? I was like, we just ran a fake punt? It's something I knew we had in the playbook because we run in practice and whatnot, but man, I could have been more excited because shout out to Sam. He needed an energy drink this morning, and I'm a caffeine head. I happen to have one. I gave it to him, so I'm going to take a little credit
That's
for
on
that.
You.
That's on me, right? If he wasn't juiced up, he wouldn't have done it. So.
And then it turned out that BYU scores a field goal on the drive, so they got points out of it, and it turned out to be a pretty big field goal because Baylor was going for a touchdown and not a field goal at the end. A field goal would have tied the game, so the points they got out of that drive that came off the fake punt was huge.
Huge, yeah. You can't underestimate any points you get. So,
all right, so a 5-0 BYU team going into the bye week. I'm not sure a lot of people out there in the world saw that coming, but you guys, you keep making, as you say, statements week after week, right?
Absolutely, and that's kind of our whole thing is, you know, just make a statement every week. We're 5-0, so now we have a chance to go 6-0. We aren't worried about going 9-0, 10-0. You know, it's what can we do this week and just focus on the week. And I think if we can keep that focus, we're going to keep the train rolling. So,
Crew, I wanted to talk to you about the defensive adjustments. When you lose a guy like Harrison Taggart, just what do you go through mentally? Because you got to go with different personnel groups. You put an extra big out there, or you put an extra nickel out there. But walk us through what you guys had to do, the changes you had to go through without Harrison Taggart.
Yeah, I mean, we're always bummed out to see a player go down, especially a guy like Harry. Everybody on the team loves Harry. But the cool thing about Coach Enna is he does such a good job preparing all the linebackers. So you know, one dude goes down and you know, you make a couple tweaks just personnel-wise, but the next dude stepped up. So we weren't really too worried about it. Nothing really had to change too much on our end. We ended up going with some different personnel packages just because of what they were doing and trying to adapt to what Baylor was doing. But Coach Enna does such a good job preparing all his linebackers, and he treats them all the same and as far as expectations. So, you know, Harry goes down, and we're bummed out about it, but the next dude's right there ready. So no one even bats an eye. No one's worried about it. No one feels vulnerable. So it was good.
Well, we hope the bye week is as good for the guys that are banged up as it needs to be, and we look forward to seeing you back at Lavelle against Arizona here in a couple of weeks, Crew. Congrats again.
Great work. Appreciate
it. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Crew. After it.
That's Crew Wakely. We'll come back with John Nelson after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Let's rejoin Greg Wrubell and Hans Olsen for more Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
All right, so welcome back to Waco. Greg Wrubell, Hans Olsen with you, visiting with BYU players after their 34-28 win over Baylor. John Nelson is with us on the headset. Punter Sam Vanderhaar will join us right after John. But a couple minutes with John. First of all, John, as we've been saying to the guys, congrats on being 5-0 and getting your first Big 12 away win today. It had to feel great.
Yeah, it was a good one. This Baylor team, you know, they really gave it to us. I mean, they didn't make it easy. They were playing tough the whole game, so it was a good one to win.
All right, their first offensive snap, it's you that gets the tip with Blake getting the pick. Is that the way it went?
That sounds correct.
All right, so first play of the game, and you get to make a play defensively, and the tackles get to combine on it. How good does that feel with you and the Mangler?
Oh, it feels great. Yeah, me and Blake are good buddies and been together since day one, so to see me and him make a play together is really sweet.
All right, so let's get into this, John. It was 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central kick, and obviously big change where you were kicking off at 8:30 last week and early morning this week. How much do you feel like the time of day and the kick affected you and this team?
I don't think it affected too much. I mean, we were playing lights out the first quarter. I mean, they get a QB draw on fourth down that we shouldn't allow. We kind of got mixed up on defense, and then they had a couple fourth down, you know, conversions that, I mean, those are freaking tight plays. And, you know, their you know, perimeter athletes were insane. So to see, you know, you could say that scored 28 points and, you know, we had a lull or whatever. But, I mean, we were playing tough the whole game, in my opinion. But they just, I mean, props to them. I mean, it's not easy to win in the Big 12.
John, we haven't had an opportunity to catch up with you as much as I'd like to. Just that interior play, you play the position that I played for so many years. I love that position, love that technique. Talk to me about what your role was, your responsibility was, particularly against this Baylor offense.
You know, the role is to make sure no runs go through your gap, no matter what. So whether you're playing four down or three down, you know, no one can run in your gap. So that was kind of that. That mindset, and then on the pass, you got to push the pocket, and then be ready for get your hands up, kind of like the first play, and get ready for the quarterback scramble to see if you can make a play.
Their quarterback was pretty darn good, I thought. He was a challenge both through the air and running the football.
Yeah, he was a tremendous athlete. He was a couple footballs he threw that were freaking on the money, people in his face. I mean, props to him. He played really good.
How mindful were you of the fact that that BYU didn't pick up a Big 12 away win last week, and this was your first shot to get it this year, and you wanted to get that done?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really touch on it, you know, before the game. I like to go into every game thinking, you know, it's a whole new battle. You know, I like the mindset of going 1-0, and each game is just as important as the next. So even though it was a huge game, and I'm sure Cougar Nation loves this, I mean, the mentality and the standard shouldn't change, you know, if we're home or away. So I'm proud of the guys for how they played, but we just went at it like just any other game.
Speaking of Cougar Nation, you had that entire corner right behind you is stacked from bottom all the way to the very top of BYU fans. Then you had the north end zone that was full of BYU fans on the third deck. Do you feel their influence in these road games, and just your overall take of playing for BYU and feeling that fan support?
Oh yeah, I mean these BYU fans are freaking crazy, dude. I mean they're everywhere, and they come out of the woodworks to every single game. I mean, even at SMU there was more BYU fans than freaking SMU fans. But yeah, in this back corner here, there was a couple of third downs. It was getting loud to the point where they had to like repeat some stuff on the old line. So I mean, they freaking cheer their heads off, and we appreciate, you know, the heck out of them.
John, I've got an opportunity to meet your dad a couple of times, and he's just not your size. When did you first beat him in arm wrestling? When did he stop arguing with you?
You know, my dad's so easy to get along with. I never had to arm wrestle him, but that makes a lot of sense. My dad is a real, I mean, if you don't know him now, you will. His name is Dave Nelson, and you'll see him. Don't worry.
He's the best, man. He is such a great man, and I love it because he walks that John Nelson banner around proudly. You've done him proud. You've done us all proud, John.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the bye week, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you, John Nelson. Let's put the headset right on to BYU's punter, Sam Vanderhaar. Sam, a big part of today's victory, and man, he gave us some fun stuff to call today, there's no doubt. Sam popping on the headset. Sam, can you hear us down there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing very well. Wow. I mentioned both on social media and with the guys that this was a great three-phase win when offense, defense, and special teams all had their moments, and you were really closely involved in two of the moments in both a fake punt and a 70-yard punt. Let's go with the 70-yarder first. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a little bit of magic to get 70, and there was a roll involved, but you have one of the most dangerous guys in the nation in Josh Cameron back there. Your thoughts on that sequence that ended up with you getting a 70-yarder?
Yeah, first thing with the returner, I mean, we knew that he was a really dangerous returner, as you're saying. So it was kind of one of those things where the first punt was, I guess it was good, but it got returned for too many yards, and Pop sort of said, I need you to roll this one the other way and try and get it on the ground, and we'll just see what happens. And yeah, he called the call, which was Ralph, and yeah, I guess it executed the way exactly how we, you know, practice.
Okay, what's the first thing that goes through your mind when you get the fake punt call?
Let's go. Yeah, that's for me, I love it. Yeah, I always say to Pop, like, let's run a fake every punt. Like, I enjoy punting, but I like winning more. So I just said that if it's on, like, please, like, let me do it. So I was biting his ear off about trying to do it. So
is there a pre-snap recognition on that fake punt? Like, are you looking for a certain set or personnel or matchup with your up back before you actually fake it? Or do you know what direction you're going pre-snap?
Yes, sir, yeah. So Batty's kind of the architect of our group, so we practice that in practice, you know, every week, that particular fake, and we're always looking for a certain look, and we got that look on that play, and but if it's not there, Batty will, you know, check back to an easy, and we do the normal punt, but that one he called green, and I was like, oh, yeah. Here we go, we're on here. So I was licking my lips, and
here it goes.
Yeah, as soon as I got the ball, it's kind of just muscle memory of running and, you know, picking gaps and all that takes over from, I guess, my Australian background.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was kind of lazy of me, but you're from Melbourne, Australia, and I said, well, there's the Aussie rules run there. Were you a player? Was it rugby? Was it Aussie rules? What were you into back there?
Yeah, I played Australian football. So, like, yeah, it's kind of like a variation of rugby, sort of, but I always say to people, you have to go on YouTube and give it a peek.
Aussie rules football, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's where I thought I'd kind of use that as my example today. And again, kind of lazy, but I was hoping you had played it at least because you were rumbling out there. You know, for the folks who don't know, maybe give us the brief version of your path to Provo and how you're finding life as a Cougar right now, Sam.
Yes, sir. Yeah, first off, I was just so grateful to be here. But basically, I joined ProKick Australia back home, which is, you know, a punting program that facilitates a transition for Aussies to come over here, which you guys obviously see a lot of them over here now. Mm-hmm. And then I got recruited by Pitt in 2022, played there for a year. And then I sort of, you know, the season ended and I just sort of said to my wife, Hallie, that this probably isn't the place for me, you know, culturally and, you know, even spiritually now, which I didn't really think at the time. But now that I'm involved in a spiritual program, it's been really cool just to kind of buy into that and have football almost be secondary, which is kind of making it easier for me as well, which has been great. So that's kind of how that all went down. Entered the transfer portal, and then Coach Papinga recruited me, and I sort of had to burn my red shirt that last year, and just I pretty much went to Arizona, put on 20 pounds just to get a little bit more muscle behind the ball. So I had a sort of a bit of a training camp, and then I came to Provo in January.
I want to go back to the punt that you – I believe you had to take the punt out of your end zone, that last punt that you booted out where Baylor got their final opportunity. But what's that like? What are the nerves like when you're – getting that snap back and you're either in your own end zone or you're by your end zone? How much anxiety are you dealing with in that moment?
To be honest, I've been very fortunate with the guys I have on punt team where they sort of do make it really easy for me, where I trust them a lot. The particular look they gave me, I knew they weren't rushing very hard, so I sort of just thought to myself, to be honest, it wasn't a very good punt, but I did say to myself, just no return yards, I don't want him at all running with the ball. So I think it ended up being like 38 fair catch, and I was just like, yep, that'll do. Like, wasn't trying to do too much with it. I just didn't want him getting the ball and returning for a touchdown, because that would have been heartbreaking for me and the team.
Well, it's your first year with the program, but you're already part of a special year because you're ranked and you're 5-0 going into the bye week, and you get your first ever Big 12 away win. A lot of things to like about today. How special does it feel to be part of this group?
Oh, it's incredibly special. Yeah, I love everyone, you know, from the team to the trainers, the coach, you guys, everybody. It's been a blessing to be here. Provo feels like, obviously it's my home now, but it definitely feels like home, which has been really amazing for not only myself, but my wife as well. So I couldn't be happier.
So how big of a hug are you going to give your special teams partner, Will Farron, for a 54-yard boot?
Oh, yeah, I get around him too much. I'm almost annoying. Like, he'll kick it, and I'm, you know, I think I hit him in the chest, and he, like, coughed a little bit because I was just so pumped up for him. So, I love having the opportunity to go out and hold for Will. And, you know, in January, to be honest with you guys, I wasn't too flash at holding, and I sort of said to Will, look, I want you to treat me as if I'm almost a newborn baby and just, like, change the way I hold it based on how you like it. And that's pretty much what we went to work with for, you know, 6 months, and then now it's just so comfortable for us out there, and he's having a great year.
Well, what a great unit you guys are. You say muscle memory, and it all comes together at the most important moments. Sam, we're so glad you're at BYU, and glad you and your wife are enjoying the experience and this season so far, for sure. Appreciate your time and safe travels, and enjoy the bye week, and we'll see you back at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in a couple of weeks.
Go get them, Sam.
Appreciate you guys. Go Cougs. 5-0. Let's go.
Stay aggressive. I'm all giving right. You green every time. Green every time.
Let's run it. Let's do it.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Sam. That's Sam Vanderhaar. We'll be hearing from BYU head coach Kalani Sitake in the Cougar Postgame Coaches Show, brought to you by the BYU Creamery that is just around the corner. We tell you that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. This has been Hyundai Cougar Postgame Live. We've got the BYU Creamery Postgame Coaches Show coming your way next here on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Postgame coverage of BYU football continues with the Cougar Postgame Coaches Show, brought to you by BYU Creamery, serving sweet memories for 75 years. The Cougar Postgame Coaches Show is also brought to you by Ryan Valuation, formerly Econ Partners, a national leader in business valuation. Learn more at ryanvaluation.com. Let's rejoin the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
All right, BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show begins from McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas. We're just around 40,000 officially. Saw BYU defeat Baylor by a score of 34-28. First home loss of the season for the Bears. First team to score a touchdown in Waco is BYU. They had the Bears beat Tarleton, an FCS team, allowing only 3 points, and then beat Air Force, allowing only 3 points. But BYU had 7 points 5 minutes into this game, and it was a 21-0 BYU lead. Things could not have gone any better for BYU to begin, and all those points came in handy in that big lead, because Baylor rallied back, and now they've got to deal with two very difficult losses in back-to-week in different ways. Last week, the game is won until a Hail Mary, and then an overtime fumble at the goal line. I can't imagine losing in a more heartbreaking fashion last week. So you lose a game you should have won, and today you lose a game you almost came back to win.
Yeah.
It looked like it was trending your way. So, man, Dave Aranda and these guys, they've got a tough slog, because keeping these guys right is going to be a challenge. Two really, really tough weeks for Baylor football.
And I just wonder, you know, how much pressure's on Dave, where he had that 12-2 season in 21 with Gary Bohannon, and I'm sure he's still riding that to a certain extent, but this is one he needed, and BYU's defense was able to hold late. Greg, one guy that I wanted to talk a little bit about, because he has stepped up big with Harrison going down and needing just a little bit of depth and help. Ice Moa did so many things well. And there were multiple times where I wanted to be able to pick up what he was doing, whether it was a backside hit or backside coverage or some type of man responsibility or big cracking hits. I didn't get to mention his name as many times as I should have, but Ice Moa showed up really big in relief of Harrison Taggart. So anytime you see 58 out there, just know that that depth comes through a lot of adversity. Ice Moa and Sione Moa, the Moa brothers, the defensive Moa brothers, those guys have fought through so much, and they keep their mouth quiet, and they just work so hard. And then when they get their opportunities, they'll go out there and crack heads. And this is now back-to-back weeks for Ice Moa that he's had great games. I'm telling you, last week at home against Kansas State to finish out that fourth quarter, he had two beautiful backside tackles, big-time hits to make sure Kansas State didn't get any ground. So I love the improvement I'm seeing from number 58.
So those were the Moa brothers. The Moa cousin, Sione Aimoa, they call him None, did not play today because of an ankle injury picked up last week in the K-State win. So the Moas were still heard from just on the defensive side of the ball after the offensive Moa, None, Sione Aimoa, was the star offensively last week. This is the BYU Creamery Cougar Post Game Coaches Show, brought to you by the BYU Creamery, serving sweet memories for 75 years. All right, 34-28, BYU defeats Baylor. BYU now 5-0. We talked about that three times in 5 years. 2-0 in the Big 12 Conference. First Big 12 away win. First daytime win in almost 3 years. Baylor loses to a ranked team for the first time, or for the 10th straight time. So a lot of numbers of note there. Here's a number of note as we bring to you the Ryan Valuation Valuable Stat of the Game. BYU's accounting program is nationally ranked, so it's no surprise one of the nation's top business valuation firms is run by diehard BYU fans. Need a valuation for your business? Go to RyanValuation.com. It's kind of a quirky one I'm going to give you, but I've tweeted it out already, and I kind of like it. BYU began the game with the football, Hans. And what did BYU do with its first drive of the game today?
BYU was able to find the end zone. And, you know, that big jolt, that nice initial start was so nice. It was such a good feel because it was almost like a hot knife through pretty soft butter. Like everything they were doing, with the exception of one power drive, one power run, was working. And it opened up the field. Now, that initial drive is a pre-scripted play set. So you write down the plays. You want to see how it works against Dave Aranda's defense. And watching it work like that had to have been great optimism for that offensive staff. And we did ask Darius, how much what you saw on film did they do? And what you expected did they do? And he said, pretty much everything. He said, pretty much everything. He said, what we saw in film is what they tried to do. He said they did make some adjustments, and we tried to figure that out in the second half. But that opening drive, along with that second drive, and a lot in between, Greg, it just felt like the offense had a better sense of things.
With that first drive, to begin the game, BYU went seven plays, 75 yards, took 408, and scored. So why is that an important thing? Well, BYU under Kalani Sitake is now 34-2. What kind of win rate is that, you wonder? Well, 34-2 is a 94.4% win rate. 34-2 when you score a touchdown on the first possession. Just take your opening touch, score six with it, and BYU's gone 34-2 in that scenario with 32 consecutive wins. It's been like if they score on their first drive a touchdown, they're going to win the game. That's how it's been for years now. And how about this? In an away situation, that's now the 13th time it's happened that BYU's taken their opening touch and scored a touchdown. They've won every one of those games. 13-0 in away games when all you do is score a touchdown on the first possession. The Cougs are the consummate front runners, and it paid off today in this 34-28 win over the Baylor Bears. Lots of things to like about today. Yeah, the offense had its spurts, right? But ultimately, if you pass for 200 and run for 150, you're going to be in a pretty good spot, ultimately. How about this? BYU under Kalani, this just came to me. So if you run for 200-plus and run for 150-plus, and BYU did that today?
Yeah.
BYU's won its last 13 games in that situation.
Run for, and so 150 on both passing and run.
No, 150 rush and 200 pass.
Oh, 200 pass.
So BYU today ran for 151, passed for 216. If you just go 150, 200, okay, plus on each, they're now 30-5 with 13 consecutive wins in that situation. Those aren't huge numbers. They're just good.
Yeah.
Right? BYU was good and balanced.
Yep.
And that will win you a lot of games. In fact, it's won BYU 30 of 35 games, more than 86% win rate just at that number. So a lot of things you want to do to give yourself a chance to win, BYU did today. But that touchdown number on the opening drive is really crazy now. 32 consecutive wins, including 13-0 when they just score a touchdown on possession number one. That's the Ryan Valuation Valuable Stat of the Game. Kalani Sitake is coming up, and then we'll hear from Dave Aranda and get into some social media comments before our day is done here at McLean Stadium. And you brought it up with the guys, and Yeah, the amount of royal blue in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, the sunshine's a factor today. It was a hot, sunny day, and people were trying to avoid the sunshine as much as they could out there because it's a pretty wide-open type deal. But of the fans who were out there, so much royal blue, and Cougar Nation representing yet again here in the deep in the heart of Texas.
Well, and what's nice is you get the comfort of your home crowd in some of your biggest games that you've got coming up. So it's going to be really nice to get back into LaBelle Edwards Stadium and fill that fan base. That 8:30 kick against Kansas State, I don't know if I've seen, felt, or heard anything like it. And you just want to replicate that the rest of the year. This could just be something special that's brewing.
We'll see what they get. The 12-day window opens tomorrow, and so if it's a 12-day call, we could find out tomorrow when that Arizona game time is. We'll take a break, and in 60 seconds, the head coach of the Cougars, Kalani Sitake, will join us on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Cougar Postgame Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Hans Olsen and the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
BYU 34 and Baylor 28, the 22nd-ranked Cougs go to 5-0, third time in 5 years, the last 5 years under Kalani, that BYU's been 5-0 through five games. And the head coach of the Cougars joins us now on the headset from field level after his team's win here in Waco at McLean Stadium. Kalani, congratulations to you and the guys on getting to 5-0 today. Big win.
Thanks, guys. That was a lot of fun. Too much drama, but, you know, I'm glad that we got the win.
You know, they say just win, baby, and this is one of those days. You got to hang on. You got to grind it out. You got to sometimes just, you know, get to zeros, and that's what happened today.
Really good for the program. I just feel good about the guys. I mean, you guys have heard me talk before that we had guys in there playing that were in that drive where Wyoming scored, and then they were in that drive where they stopped Kansas State, and then they were in here winning the game for us. So it was key for our guys to develop. We're a deep team. I think we're testing our depth too much right now, but it's okay. I just think that you have to give a lot of credit to Baylor. Those guys stuck with it. We knew that they were going to make a push, and some things didn't go our way, man. I think we have to it's a couple things. One is just play better and then more efficient and then just end the game. And the other thing is you have to give credit for Baylor for sticking in there and being resilient. They're playing for a lot. It's not easy to go on the road and win in Big 12. I'm glad we finally got our first win on the road.
Well, this is a lot of fun to watch this game, especially kind of the back end of what Jay Hill was doing defensively. And people know you as a legendary head coach, but you are also a legendary defensive coordinator. You called a lot of aggressive games, Kalani, and Jay was getting aggressive, man. It was awesome to see some of those corner and safety blitzes and bringing a little bit of extra help. When the game was on the line, he trusted his defense, even when he had to run press and bring some pressure. Just talk about his call and how aggressive it was.
Yeah, I liked it. I was right on the same line with how I like. I mean, we speak the same language, so I was just like, any time that I wanted to make a recommendation, he was already on top of it. Jay Hill is great at what he does. And then the guys we just need to execute all the little parts. I thought we got him in third and long, which is what we wanted to do. We weren't able to get sacks or get turnovers. And so we got to find a way to be better that way. And it's just one or two guys got to do their part and stop trying to make the play. Sometimes they have to just be the one that takes the guard out of the way so that the other guy can be a free hitter. But it'll come along. I think that these are the games that you can show them and say, hey, listen, we should be way better than this, and let's not leave it up to us trying to make the play, just doing our job. If you do your job, the play will be made. I think you saw JT did it when he kept contained on that one that it was intentional grounding, and all he had to do was be outside of that, and he did the right thing, and it worked out. So many guys want to just peek in and try to do something different. We just need everyone to be accountable, and it will all work out.
You played a lot of really, really good teams in these daytime games, but it had been a while since you won a game in the sunshine, so it was nice to get that done. And you guys showed that you were ready to go in the early morning hours because, man, this game was 21-0 in a heartbeat.
Yeah, we felt great about the early start. I mean, we, you know, I think when people talk about the past and say, well, this is, you know, they don't play good in day games and all that, this is a different group, man, you know, so They weren't here for all the day games that people say that we should have won and didn't, so that it doesn't matter to them. But it was nice to wake up and eat, go for a little walk, eat some breakfast, and get on the bus and get out here. Man, that was so cool, and, And now the days, I mean, the sun's still here. Last week I went home, I was about 2:30. And now it's like, this is amazing. I get to hang out, and I think we're going to land when the sun's still up. So this is going to be a lot of fun for our travel.
I had some fun with this a moment ago with Hans and our listeners and mentioned it on social media as well. But speaking of strong starts, I always bring this up to you, and you say, let's keep doing it. But when you score a touchdown on your first possession like you did today, 34-2 is the record, 32 consecutive wins, 13-0 in away games. When you just score a touchdown on that first possession, you get a strong start. You guys seem to carry with it.
Yeah, that's – you know what? Greg, from now on, when we score the first one, I'm just going to take my headset off and just say, Greg already gave me the analytics on this, guys. It's already a done deal. See, we don't have to play the rest of the 50 minutes, you know. But
you sit your starters.
You know, we defer. We want to win the middle eight. We want the ball in the second half. But to what Greg just said, I don't mind taking the ball first if they defer. I don't mind it, especially when the offense, so many times it's like, you know, it might not be a bad idea to take the ball first and get as many possessions as we can. The analytics work both ways,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So especially if you can be effective and flip the field or if you have to punt, flip the field. Really, if you get first downs early in that first drive, things should go your way in terms of field possession. But scoring makes it even better. And in our case, we should just try to take the ball every time now.
Kalani, can you give us updates on Harrison Taggart, Connor Pay, Evan Johnson?
Yeah. We should get Evan back for Arizona.
Good.
We should get LJ back for Arizona.
Oh, great.
Connor, we'll have to wait and see. I'll probably wait until Monday. We have to wait and see when we get the doctors to take a look at it and for tomorrow. But I'll have probably more an idea on Monday. And then Harrison, I think he's going to be fine for the next game. I just hate to speak.
Yeah, right.
You know, so we have to wait for him. Who else did you ask about?
Just those guys.
I think he lost Cody today, too, okay. For a while.
Yeah. So we have to wait and see with those guys. I'll probably have more for you guys on – are we doing a press conference? I don't even know. I'm guessing we're doing one on Monday.
So. No coaches show next week, next Tuesday night, by the way, for your planning purposes. But
that group. I like that crowd that comes.
Hey, yes. who is this Bruce Mitchell? Tell me more about this kid. Is he a wrestler?
He is a wrestler, and he is a physical beast. He had a great game against Kansas State. And a lot of people don't realize that because the focus was on the running backs, that he was our third guard that started at right guard for us this year, and he's amazing. And then he was able to get in the game, and, you know, we moved Moccasini to center when Connor went out, and then it's a good group, man. I'm so proud of the way that Coach Woods is coaching these guys. And, man, I said in the press conference, I was about to lose my cool. Maybe I lost a little bit of it, you know, but and I was going off, and the players were just like, "Coach, we got it, man. Don't worry, we got this." And they're kind of like, almost we're ready for this. It kind of calmed me down a little bit, and I'm glad that those guys believe in it, and I'm glad that we worked these situations so many times in practice, and so we got to keep doing it.
Hey, Kalani, this is a great number. You're through five games now. You've not had a minus turnover margin game yet. Yeah, there were two takeaways, but your two giveaways, but you had two takeaways. And so you've been either even or plus in all five games this year. And when you're even or plus, you're winning around, you know, 80% of your games. Like, it's a really good formula, just not losing the margin, and you didn't lose it today.
Yeah, gosh dang it. I wish we should have had more. But just like the way the guys play, I think they'll come. They'll come, and the turnovers will come for our defense. And you know, I think what were our turnovers? Were the Jake's interceptions? There was a pick
one
on
pick.
The ball to Keelan.
A deflected, and then
that
batted ball.
The batted ball. They got us back on the batted interception. But it's just, you know, I like our chances when we can create turnovers. I like it even more when we can be in the positive.
So we talked about your defensive coordinator, Jay Hill. Now let's talk about your special teams coordinator, Kelly Popinga, because the fake punt, Kalani, was incredible. Then he dials in the 54-yard field goal, and then he calls in another incredible special teams play here and there. It's like Kelly Popinga and his special teams, Kalani, they've been very consistent.
He's an amazing coach. I love having him on staff. Great friend. He's such a hard worker. He looks for any advantage that we can get. And if our guys can just listen to him and just do everything he asks, I mean, he's such an effective D-line coach, too, when he coaches our DNs. And so he brings a lot to the table in terms of our defensive scheme and coaching. And then he brings that just the willingness to go through it, you know, and on that fake punt. I was like, you know me, man. Like, I've never met a fake punt I didn't like. So I'll go ahead and do it. You know, and I was proud of him, man. It's well executed. We've practiced that over and over again, and I like the stuff he comes up with. So, he's an expert at all of it. I was really pleased with all the play callers today. You know, I thought A-Rod did a great job at calling the offense, Jay on the defense, and definitely K-Pop on the special teams.
What distance do you trust Farron from?
I don't know. I thought he mishit that one. It looked kind of like, I don't know if the wind got to it or whatever, but I trust him from 60.
Ooh.
You know, so he should be able to hit it. I just didn't like the one that he missed. I was like, come on, man. But, you know, at the same time on offense, we got to finish drives, all that stuff. We just got to put himself in a better position. Because when we're closer, 44 in,
yeah,
he's pretty good, you know. So we just got to make it easier on him.
Kalani, there was a stage of this game late. You're just trying to, you know, hopefully get a couple first downs, win the game. You get a nice first down run to set up a second and five or so, we think. They called a 15-yard penalty that put you at second and 20 and meant you had to basically give the ball back to Baylor. How did you see that, and were they telling you anything about what they were seeing and calling out there?
Yeah, it was a flop. I saw number three grab our guy's arm. I mean, I lost my cool because you just can't call that. I mean, that's – we've seen enough football around where you can see guys flop. But it's okay. The refs are human. So, I mean, that's – you know, but if you keep rewarding that, everyone's going to do it now. So I like to think that our guys in that situation would be smart. Number three grabbed Caleb Etienne by the arm, like just really grabbed from the arm. When Caleb moved to get his arm back, it's like he just kind of threw himself back and whatever. If it works, we should start doing it now, you know. But that's the thing is I was not pleased about it, and I let him hear it.
It's called the James Harden.
Yeah, I let him hear it. Yeah, just James Harden. I was doing the flopping signal in basketball just to let him know that this is a flopping signal for them.
Well, you did have to give the ball back after that. But all that meant, Kalani, was that your defense got to go out and win the game. And Crew Wakely had a great game today. He has his first career sack, and then he gets his second career pick to seal the deal. That was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, just such a great player. I mean, this, you know, it helps that he played quarterback before, so he knows how quarterbacks think and feel. And, man, such great instincts, and I'm so proud of it. It was a great call by Jay Hill, too. Just the execution was nice. And then the pressure, just the D-line being able to get after the quarterback. I mean, we finally got a holding call. I thought they were holding us quite a bit. But, you know, the game is the game, man. What I like from the D-line is that they stuffed the run for the most part, you know, and they did a lot of QB runs, and sure, they made some throws. I thought Sawyer Robertson was really accurate.
Very good.
In his throws. I mean, the windows are so tight that if he can make those throws consistently, that's great. But if not, we're going to get picks, and that's, I'm glad that we were able to get that at the end.
So, Kalani, let's figure out this running back situation, because now we've got carries from Nawahine, Rapati, Davis, Honga, Martin. Who else am I missing, Greg? I mean,
quarterback.
Yeah, obviously Retzlaff. I mean, we've got
and Bohannon,
and we got carries all across the board. What in the ideal world, coming out of the bye week, what does this running back room look like? And are you looking for one to stabilize as the 20 carry back, or is it just going to remain by committee?
Well, it has to remain by committee until we get everybody healthy. LJ is our guy. Right, but that's why we had. But the other thing, though, Hans, is that we had to make a decision early in the week if we're going to be able to put reps into someone that's not 100% yet, or move on and let him heal. So we made the big decision to just focus on Enoch and Miles and Pokai getting the bulk of the reps, and then working in a little bit of Hinkley. And I don't think we used Hinkley much today, but we knew that those three guys could get the bulk of the reps, and we'd be in a really good position. Now we have to reassess everything, and we go into the bye week, which gives us extra reps, so we can work more reps with everybody, including LJ and Hinkley, and then get the guys rolling. So it doesn't hurt to have five guys that can run the ball. And the question would be who's going to be the one that's going to, you know, compete and get the starting spot. And we'll take a look at that all next week.
You're 24-4 when you don't allow a sack. No sacks today of Jake Retzlaff. This is with an O-line that lost Connor Pay, and then Whalen went out for a bit, and you're moving guys around. And kudos to those guys. Bruce came in and played both guards, and you already talked about him. But, man, this O-line has performed really well.
Yeah, they've done a great job. And hats off to Kaim and Caleb at the tackles position. Those guys were so strong, man. And then we mixed around the guards, but like, you know, Austin Leusa and Sonny Magasini and you know, Bruce Mitchell and Waylon Blapuaho, those guys rotating in there was so good for us, man. And I like the way Coach Woods coaches them, man. Those guys are all ready. Number was called, they're ready to roll. And let's get some guys healthy though. But if we need to, we know we can count on our depth.
Kalani, I spent a segment talking about Ice Moa. And I am so proud of him. I love seeing him move around. And I know that it was a collective decision, you and defensive coaches, to move him off the edge and move him to the linebacker. He dropped some weight. And, man, has he been there for you in the time of need. Talk about Ice Moa and what he's done.
He's a big-time player. We need to get him on the field. We need to coach him right and get him in position. I think he was out of position last year, and I think he's in the right spot now. He's getting reps. You know, but we have a good linebacking core. So yeah. So being able to rotate those guys, keep them fresh. I think we've got to come up with a great rotation so everybody can be fresh. I thought we did that a little bit, but I think maybe getting things a little bit so that it's a little bit more is a little bit more automatic rather than just getting on the field. You know what I mean?
More standard.
Yeah. Because we have it's just like the running back position. If you have guys that can go, then just let them go. And they all, the good thing about defense is you get the even reps because the ones and twos get the split reps. Ice has been doing an amazing job. Backer is his position. The great thing is he plays all three backers. He's super smart, super instinctive, and doesn't hurt to have big brother over there and helping him along the way. So we have a really deep group. I think you saw Siali Acero was able to play a little bit too. And you know, Sione Moore played. I mean, there's a really good group of backers and DNs that we can kind of play around with.
All right, 5-0 against the spread now. Another win as an underdog. 5-0 on the season, obviously. And going into the bye week with a lot of good feelings. You're going to want your guys to stay, as you said before, hungry and humble. But you've earned the rewards that come with being 5-0.
Yep, and thank you. These guys deserve to be happy and be excited about where they're at right now. But enjoy it now. We'll get to work on Monday. And humble these guys and try to find ways to get better. I think a lot of them are already going to watch the game on the tablets, but it feels good to when you put it together, the guys' belief and just going through the process. You know, we've had tough practices, and these guys just grind through it, and I'm so proud. I'm so honored to be their coach, man. Such great young men, and they came that way. They come from great families, and I love obedient sons. I love great kids that are great sons, and they don't have to be perfect, but, man, they're perfect to me, and I just got to keep loving them up and putting in positions for success.
Kalani, I've loved your Monday press conferences, and I just feel like you've kind of got a different angle, almost an edge to you in your press conferences and some of your conversations. It just feels like you're out to really prove something this year. Just how much do you feel like you have to prove? Now you go into this bye week, and you've got a tough remaining schedule, but how much more do you have left to do?
Well, I just want to show these guys off, man. These guys have worked really hard. You know how I am, Hans. I love these kids, man. And we're just barely scratching the surface of how good we can be. These guys are starting to learn and starting to believe and be motivated by the things that they're seeing, that they put the work in. It's showing up on Saturdays. All I have to do is just kind of push them towards that goal. And they're surrounded by wonderful teammates and unbelievable fan base and great coaches. So the recipe's there. I just got to be a little bit more intentional about it and deliberate about my movements, and just really don't leave anything up to chance. I'm trying not to be like super micromanager about it, but like it's okay. These guys know me now that if I say things that they already know, I think they're humble enough to be like, okay, coach, great idea, even though they already know it.
Well, Kalani, this was a fun one. A lot of royal blue in the stands. Of course, we never get tired of shouting out Cougar Nation for how they support you away, and they got to see BYU's first ever win in Waco. and send you guys into the bye week the right way. We know you all had a great time out there with a lot of your friends in Royal Blue.
They're awesome. I mean, I get emotional when I see them. I mean, it's thank you for all the fans that came and all the fans that support us and watch us. I mean, this is we can feel your energy and your presence, and everybody always compliments us about our fans that travel. Man, it's we just have fans everywhere. They just show up, and I know it's a sacrifice for a lot of them. So I hope they know as they drive back home and all those things that we love them. We pray for them every day. So I hope they know that we love them so much.
Well, safe travels to you and the guys. Here's to getting back in the sunshine hours still, and we will do it again with you in 2 weeks at Lavelle Edwards Stadium and see if you're a coach's show a week from Tuesday. But enjoy the a little bit of a reduced schedule, but you know it's a work week, and we wish you all the best.
Amazing start, Brother Sitake.
Love you guys. Thank you so much. Go Cougs.
Thanks, Kalani. All right, that is Kalani Sitake. All right, let's hear, after we take this 10-second break, we'll hear from Dave Aranda, head coach of the Baylor Bears. Let's pause at the moment at 3 o'clock Mountain Time, 4 o'clock here in Waco for a 10-second station identification on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is BYU Radio on KBYU FM HD2 Provo. You're listening to BYU Football on BYU Radio.
All right, to back at McLean Stadium, Greg Grubel and Hans Olsen with you. 34-28, BYU over the Baylor Bears on this postgame show. Already you've heard from Darius Lassiter, Jake Retzloff, Tyler Bowdy, Crew Wakely, John Nelson, Sam Vanderhaar, and the head coach of the Cougars, Kalani Sitake. Let's hear now from the other side. Baylor Bears head coach Dave Aranda. He spoke with the media shortly after his team's loss today here on its home field. And our appreciation goes out to Lily Warner. By the way, Ben and Lily Warner are today's audio engineers. And they've both done an outstanding job throughout the day. And Lily was down in the Baylor press room area to get these comments from Coach Dave Aranda a short time ago. So here now, Dave Aranda, head coach of the Baylor Bears.
It's good to see you guys. Disappointed in the start to this game. Was really hoping for better. Thought that there was great fight throughout the game. I thought that, you know, despite whatever the score was and early in the game, it wasn't very good for our side of things. I thought that throughout the whole game, we thought we were going to win the game, you know. And whether you're on the sidelines or you're running out to the field or it's after something negative or all the negative things that happened, there is always that belief that we're going to win. And so, you know, I thought halftime was a great response. There was a lot of truth-telling there. You know, I think just specifically for me on defense, I thought offensively BYU did a great job on offense. You know, a lot of coaches that I've coached with in the past that are on that staff over there, guys that were on the defense, Chad is on the defense there, and then TJ Woods is the O-line coach there. They were with us both at Utah State and at Wisconsin, and so, you know, they run the same defense over there, and so they – we had a lot of beaters coming at us, and we weren't playing them very good. And this was really for the first time defensively, you know, things that we had normally been doing, we weren't doing. And so that's very difficult when you plan to make a play and then you're not. And so the second half was an ability to really kind of just go the other way. We just changed course and adjusted and ran different defenses, played a whole lot better because we're out of the way of all the beaters, you know. But I think we've got to be able to get it to where we can play our base versus their base no matter what beaters come at us with attention and all that to detail. And so I thought that the fight is something I'm proud of. I thought that, you know, offensively Sawyer and his effort, he took some big hits and he came back throwing. I thought Hal made some big-time catches. I thought the run game needs to improve. I thought it's regressed these last couple weeks. Both the blocking and the running. I thought that, you know, defensively, we've got to be able to start faster. And I think we've got to be able to play base. We don't always need to have a beater for their beater. We've got to be able to execute. You know, so there's a thing of like, hey, man, it's 3-2, and you know what pitch is coming, right? You've got to be able to hit that pitch. And so I think there's a fair amount of lessons to be learned off of this and a fair amount of improvement. Take any questions you guys got.
Good place here in the car.
Dave, you mentioned the start. If you go back to last year, you know, these kind of starts have been a recurring theme sometimes. Do you feel like there's a problem with the approach that you guys are taking, like coming into the game, and you know, how do you fix this?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't think last year really has too much to do with this year. I understand the record of last year. I think this is a very different team. Yeah, I think this circumstance for this game is very different than last year's circumstance. I think we do have to play better. I think when we rep something and we walk through something and, you know, we fit something up and we do all those things, we're expected to make those plays in the game. And when we don't, you know, we got to get someone else that can. And we're about at that spot prior to changing the defense completely, you know. And so we've got to way improve in that. And I take responsibility for that.
Hey, back here. You mentioned kind of that opening statement, keeping the faith almost in this program. Obviously, losses like this kind of grow some frustration to the fan base, or whether that be in the locker room. How do you go about keeping the faith with these tough losses? And at what point, you know, do you maybe change something up or kind of understand, you know, when people might start losing that faith?
Yeah, there is a lot of faith in the locker room. There's a lot of leaders in there, guys that believe, guys that put everything into this. You know, we have a lot of staff and support staff that, you know, I see their families every Sunday, and I just know how much they sacrifice and how much it means to them and how special this opportunity is. And so they fight for that, you know. And so I think, you know, just to be around your people, you just feel empowered by them, and you feel their energy, and that helps propel you through, you know, hard times.
Exactly.
Coach, there were noticeably some players missing on the sideline, Kay Jenkins, Steve Wood, maybe a few others. Was they injured, or was that something else, or where were they?
There's a mix. There's a couple guys that are injured, and there's a couple guys off the field, discipline issues, and so there's about 10 to 12 guys that were without. But, you know, what I would say to that is it's next man up. You know, we've got good players on this team. You have an opportunity to play. You've been wanting to play. Here's your opportunity to play. Let's go make a play. And so I think, you know, that all of it comes down to execution. I think, you know, I look at BYU, they're missing guys too. And they executed better than we did.
Coach, in the back, you talked about the fight and how you were proud of that. You saw how emotional the players are. They clearly care. Is the fight the biggest reason you have such confidence in this team?
I think we've got good players. I think we've got talented guys. I think we've got guys that can make plays when it's one-on-ones, that can affect pass protection, or can block a one-on-one. I think we've got guys that can take advantage of schematic game planning. And so I think we can't lose sight of that despite, you know, the losses, despite the frustration. You know, these last two losses, but just the way they are, you know, they can gut you. And so to stay strong and to keep everyone together and to keep moving forward, I mean, that's what I would want my kids to do. And so I think the same way with our team.
How disappointed are you to be having these discipline issues, because I mean, you're missing some major key players who played like great last week, so it's kind of hard to know who's injured, who's disciplined, but what's going on that you're having those kind of issues?
I think there is always a maturity, a growing up, and I think, you know, when you bring people in and you bring transfers in, I think there's always an issue of, hey, what they're used to, what their program has been, what their, I don't want to, maybe standards have been, ain't what ours is, you know? And I think to make it work for them and for us has to come an acceptance of what we believe and what our standards are and how we go about doing things. And I think at times that's hard. I don't think it's necessarily a good or bad thing. I think it's a growing up thing. It's a maturity thing, and I take a lot of pride in it, because I feel like that's part of the reason, it's a big part of the reason why I'm here, and it's one of the things that I want to really make an impact on, and I think this is part of the process. I'd like for it to be a little bit further along with a few individuals than it is now, but I believe in those individuals, and I want to see them succeed.
Is this like a short-term thing?
Short-term, yeah.
Cam, right here.
Dave, you talked about the regression of the running game, only 63 yards in the whole game today. Is that something that, like, are you guys trying to be a running football team and it's just not clicking?
We run the ball to get the RPOs open, you know? And so when we spread people out and they say it's 2x2 and there's an overhang, there's somebody from, there's an in-man line of scrimmage and a number two receiver out here, there's someone in between. We want that in-between guy to be more tighter to the core so that there's more space out there to throw. And when we can't effectively run it, the in-between guy isn't really in-between. Well, now he's more out wide. Right now, with our two guys, instead of it 2-on-2, now it's 3-on-2. And so we have to change the math by running inside. And so at the point of attack, it just hasn't been what it needs to be. I'm disappointed with that. And then I thought our running backs are not running as hard as I think they have in the past. I think we've all seen what has been, and it's not right now. I'm for sure those are related, but we have to be better in those areas because I think that really is the hallmark of it. If you don't run the ball, then you're going to ask for 3-on-2s, and then you're going to get people that are just rushing the passer on you and just kind of teeing off. And so the ability to run it, right, holds people inside and gives us 2-on-2s on the outside. So it starts there.
John's going to wrap us up.
Coach, leading the way for the defense, can you talk about how frustrating it was in the first half that the offense was putting up points but the defense just couldn't consistently get stops?
Yeah, very frustrating. I think, you know, in the prep for it, there was a concern of just how familiar they were with everything. But I think that's part of this league. I think you look at this league, it's so intermixed, interrelated. You look at the schools that are in Texas and the coaches that have been here and everything else. So that's just a huge part of it. And I think to have the options where if something's way targeted, that you have other things to go to like we did, I think is way important to do. But I think, you know, with all of that being said, just being familiar and knowing what's up and all that, we have to play through that, though, right? People can know what we're doing, but we can execute still, right? There still is an execution part, and I thought that was lacking today from guys that have executed really high level prior to this. And so for us to be able to have to, you know, adjust and call this and call that and call these other things and kind of outsmart the fox, I think that's always a part of it, but we've got to be able to play our base regardless of what comes. And so I'm disappointed that we were not able to do that in the first half. Okay, thank you guys.
Randa, head coach of the Baylor Bears. His team falls to BYU by a score of 34-28 today here in Waco. Again, appreciation goes out to our audio engineer, Lily Warriner, for grabbing those comments that we could use during our postgame coverage. What a postgame it has been, and it continues. As we will be rolling on with Cougar Postgame Live, Big O Tires Cougar Postgame Live, brought to you by Big O Tires. Go to BigOTires.com and make an appointment at one of 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. But before we get into your social media comments that will provoke some discussion topics with Hans Olsen and Mitchell Juergens and myself here in the booth. By the way, Mitch is in the booth now, Greg and Hans, and now Mitch here. Let's get you to our Inside Scoop trivia question for today. And this can be answered on the social media using the hashtag BYUCPL for Cougar Post Game Live. That's hashtag BYUCPL. Use the X machine, a.k.a. Twitter, and submit your response using the hashtag BYUCPL. The first response that crosses my timeline, the first correct response, will win 2 half gallons of famous BYU Creamery ice cream. Here's your Inside Scoop trivia brought to you by the BYU Creamery. The BYU Creamery. Serving sweet memories for 75 years. We had a sweet memory here this afternoon. Beautiful BYU win. Here's a question. You ready, boys?
Ready.
Ready.
Interested.
In Kalani Sitake's first game as BYU head coach, the Cougars defeated Arizona 18-16 in Glendale. Well, why are we mentioning Arizona?
Because they're coming
next
up.
Game.
It's the next game.
Mm-hmm.
So in his first game as head coach, Kalani beat Arizona 18-16 in Glendale. It was one of 5 games in the Sitake era that BYU's won while scoring 20 or fewer points.
Okay.
Name the opponents in the other 4 games.
So there's four other games that they've won.
The BYU won while scoring 20 or fewer points. Only four. Name the opponents in the other four games. Hashtag BYUCPL is what you've got to use. Hashtag BYUCPL for Cougar Post Game Live. Use that hashtag and include the names of the other four opponents that BYU's defeated in the Sitake era while scoring 20 or fewer points, meaning BYU scores no more than 20, but they still win the game. Looking for four teams. Give me those four teams, and the first person to do so on the X Machine, a.k.a. Twitter, hashtag BYUCPL wins 2 half gallons of famous BYU Creamery ice cream. Have at it. We're back with you in a minute.
This is Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Cougar Postgame Live is brought to you by Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. Cougar Postgame Live is also brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Some tense and nervous moments late in this game for BYU and their faithful as the Cougars saw a large lead, 21-0 and then 28-7. Slowly decrease. It was a six-point game. Baylor had the football late, needing to score a touchdown to win, and they had a couple of cracks on drives that were ended by BYU big plays. The Cougars doing enough to win this one, 34-28, and getting it from everybody. An offense that put up 367 yards, balance between rush and pass, 21st downs, a good number, outgained Baylor in yards per play at 5.3 to 5.1. Perfect in the red zone, won the possession time, equaled the turnover margin, didn't give up a sack. The things you've got to do to win a football game, BYU did a lot of them today. Defense coming up strong time and again, special teams with some big, big plays, a 54-yard field goal, a 70-yard punt, a fake that resulted in points at the end of the drive. It came from everywhere. Welcome back to Cougar Post Game Live from McLean Stadium here in Waco, Texas. BYU's first ever win in Waco, 34-28. Attendance number today was 39,583 on a warm, sunny Saturday. And still the sun's shining because we got the early morning kick today, 10 a.m. Mountain Time and 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. All right, let's get to the Inside Scoop trivia. We have plenty of correct answers.
Oh, good.
Coming in.
Good, a lot of people know.
And I thought for a moment that like the Swallows returning to San Juan Capistrano, Ryan Lundgren had won his first ice cream haul of the year. But J.D. McKell just beat him on my timeline. Just beat him on my timeline. So, Ryan, another week, it'll be your week. I'm sure it is. It is every year. But we say congrats to J.D. McKell, who answered correctly. By the way, do you have the answer, Hans? Off the top of your head?
I only know one because I was in the booth for one, and that's SMU.
Okay, so that's one Mitch had, too. So you both got one.
Yeah, but I don't think I've been in the booth for another one.
Okay, so no. Yes. Yes, you were.
Oh.
In fact, so much so that it was your first game with me.
Oh, my gosh. Got to go all the way back to Sam Houston?
To Sam Houston, yeah.
17-0.
14-0.
14-0.
Take it. So here were the games. Cincinnati, 2016. BYU won 20-3. Portland State 20-7, 2017, BYU won 20-6. Sam Houston last year 14-0, and SMU this year 18-15.
Okay.
Those are the five, and then you include that with the Arizona game back in 2016, the one we referenced earlier, 18-16. And those are the five games that BYU's won while scoring 20 points or fewer. Arizona in 16, Cincy in 16, Portland State in 17, Sam Houston last year, and SMU this year, and J.D. McKell at TrueBlueIDoc on Twitter was the first one through with the correct answer, so I'll be sliding into JD's DMs, and we'll be getting information from him to get ice cream to him. So that was the trivia question for this week, and those were the correct answers as they came in. Well done.
Well, I think that SMU one's got to still be the most impressive out of all of them.
Because they were scoring so many points at home, and then they mm-hmm. turned around to their next home game and scored 66. Yeah.
That's incredible what they did against SMU. That's why you got to give some credit to Baylor. That's the first passing touchdown we've seen on this BYU defense.
That's a good point. I did not bring it up during the run of play today. But, yes, BYU had been one of few teams to allow no passing touchdowns. And, yeah, Baylor ended that today, didn't they?
It felt weird when I saw it, and it was that pass. And I believe that it was to Josh Cameron.
Josh Cameron had one, and Hawkins had another, and then Josh had another. There were three today.
Did Cameron's one, though, where he tapped the foot down off that far corner? It was such a beautiful reception.
By the way, Josh Cameron, former walk-on, and he's just become the man. He's a great punt returner. 7 for 125 and 2 scores today through the air.
Wow. And do you remember, was that Josh Cameron that had the toe tap, that very first reception down here on our sideline? That, remember, it was like a third down, and he
12, third and 12.
He spun around and tapped his toe. It was a remarkable catch.
It would have been him or Presley.
I can't remember. I thought it was Cameron, but.
Could have been.
It was Cameron, 34 yards on a 3rd and 14. That's what it was.
You're right, Greg. That guy's kind of he turned into a bit of a freak out here, because he had a couple of catches that were beautiful. That touchdown off that back shoulder throw was beautiful as well.
And how about the fact that Chase Roberts can get all the well-deserved pub and attention for what he's been doing, and then, Darius Lassiter says, I'm still here for 8 for 120. 8 for 120 in a score from Darius, along of 44.
And left about 50 on the field.
Yeah.
You know,
he was targeted 13 times today.
Yeah. And 13 how many
times?
Catches?
Eight on the 13 targets.
Well, one of the receptions it ended up being incomplete, but one that really bugged me. I don't typically get caught up on no calls, but there was a throw to Tavatasi.
Oh, on a double throw that Chase had.
Yeah. Yep. That one really.
There was contact. Me. Again, it wasn't egregious, but it was enough to bump a receiver off his line. And any kind of contact, other than two players going for the ball, it should be called.
100%. And that one sat in my craw. I actually had to spit it out because it was bugging me for a good 10, 15 minutes. When you miss a call like that, it takes so much away from the player. It takes away from the moment. There was no question that defender bumped him aggressively, and that threw him off of his track, and that should have been a PI.
And the ball was in the air.
And the ball was in the air, and it was a great play call, nice aggressive play call to take the shot when they were able to get that possession.
And if he bumped him while Chase still had the football or the quarterback still had the football, that's okay. But once the ball's in the air, it becomes PI.
Did that end up in the 54-yard field goal? Was that I thought that it was that drive that they ended up kicking the 54-yard field goal, because I remember thinking if they were to find the end zone then.
I think.
Was that not it? Well, maybe not.
I think that was the second half, which meant it would have been the missed field goal.
Oh, it might have been.
I think that one.
So it led to no points.
So that would have been in the fourth quarter then, right? That play that resulted in the missed field goal?
Yeah, BYU was heading this direction.
Yes, they were. You might be right, Mitch. That might have led to 0 points, that no call. Which, oh, man. There were so many crazy calls and so many crazy moments. Mitch, did you hear Kalani speaking on the flop? And the call, the flag that came down. Whew. If that would have lost them the game, because it very well could have.
Yeah.
If that would have lost them the game, that would have been a horrible deal.
You think that flops should be reviewable plays as well, especially if it leads to something like a penalty, significant penalty.
I agree. And, that took you from a 2nd and 5, and it took you half the distance to the goal and put you 3rd and 20 at that time, and or 2nd and 20, and just changed that whole offensive possession.
2nd and 20 gave them their timeout back. Clock still stops. So then they go in with another timeout and plenty of time. I mean, and the punt was favorable. They had 60 yards to go with 90. Little over 90 seconds and a timeout. That's
very doable.
More than doable.
Yeah, very doable. So that no call just had me shaking my head for probably longer than it should have. Yeah.
Greg Grubel, Hans Olsen, and Mitchell Juergens with you in the broadcast booth. BYU 34 and Baylor 28 is our final score. If you want to jump in on social media, use the X and use the hashtag BYUCPL. We can see what's on your mind and see what discussions it prompts up here in the booth as we wrap things up from Waco on this afternoon. Great to be with you today. Hashtag BYUCPL. Hashtag BYUCPL for Cougar Post Game Live. Drop us in a comment and we'll see what pops up and see what we can chat about before we sign off from McLean Stadium. What number of all the different trends and stuff that I've been kind of throwing out in social and to Kalani and others' hands, which one do you like the most? Which one do you think like resonates the most? Because some of the trivia stuff is kind of more trivial than tactical, but some of the stuff seems like it actually matters, right? What have you liked among the different win-loss trends we've been talking about that really, really tend to hold water within the Kalani era?
Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So it's not the favorable trends that I like right now. It's the negative trends they just bucked. The 10 a.m. kick.
Okay, so a daytime win for the first time in nearly 3 years.
And the road win in Big 12 play. Those are the two that are the most impressive to me. Because, you know, you get to a point where you're like, well, what now do I have to put against them? What now do I have to leverage them with? Because they just won their 10 a.m. kick. They just won their first Big 12 road game. And it's like, I just keep asking myself, what is this team? And I've had so many people ask me, is it sustainable? And it will always be sustainable if it's on a defense's back. Defense is sustainable. They get to control it. Offense, you can have a player that fumbles a ball and gives up bad field position. You can have a quarterback that makes a misread, doesn't see the depth of a backer. You can have, like, offense can make mistakes. When you've got a stable defense, they can win you any game in any given moment. I say moving forward through the remaining of their seven games, there's not going to be a game. There's not a game in front of them that I would say, oh, they don't have a chance, or, oh, there's just no way. Every game they have, based off of their defense, I would say, let's play it. Let's play. And I puff up my chest and I hold my chin up high and I say, let's play this game. Because when you got a good defense, you can step in the ring with any boxer. If you got good defense, it doesn't matter that they throw overhands. It doesn't matter that they got a killer uppercut. When you got good defense and you throw that shoulder, Floyd Mayweather went 50-0 based off of that stupid shoulder D that he throws out. It gets boring at times, but you know you can't hit him. You can't end it. Defense wins. And when you got defense, you can hang a hat on it. And that's what they got. So, like, I just sit here, like, with it just energized, chills, because I'm like, when defenses are good, when they're good, I know I've got a level of confidence, and that's why I asked Jake Retzlaff, what does the defense do? How does that change your game? And he's like, well, I don't feel like I have to win everything. Well, guess what that does to Jake? That means he's not pressing balls in there as much. He needs to be more conscious of that. Well, okay, so I'm going to go into this fourth down. I don't need to force this third and eight into a double coverage or into some type of zone look because my defense will hold him. I'll get a shot on the next one. Like, it should calm his mind, and he should continue to ease up on the turnovers that we're seeing.
Yeah, and how important it is for if the offense can understand that, and it sounds like, I mean, Jake is, and he's doing that, you can see that he's more calm. He's more calm. He's more calculated with how he's running this offense with that in mind.
Yeah.
But if they can figure out how to start fast, mm-hmm. like they did today.
Then you get into Greg's stat.
Well, and you get into in the second half where maybe things don't start to click as much. It's really hard for a team like Baylor today. They made a comeback, but they have to be near perfect mm-hmm. to make a comeback on a stout defense. And so as long as if they can build that combination where if the offense can just figure out how to get out of the gates fast, this will be a really, really hard team to beat. Because try making a comeback on this BYU defense. We saw some holes. There's definitely some things to fix. Mm-hmm. Like for the first time today, which we hadn't seen in the first four games, there were a couple missed assignments, guys out of position. On the touchdown that down on this side, the guy was wide open.
I thought Jacob fell out of his quarter. That's what it looked like to me. It just didn't trail.
It was clearly some kind of miscommunication. A guy mm-hmm. wasn't in the right spot. And so we even saw that, but still, it became really, really hard. Baylor had to be perfect. They had two chances at the end, couldn't do it. And so that could be a really, really hard combo to beat when an offense starts fast and you have the defense playing as well as they are.
We talked about that score TD on the first possession thing, but even when BYU just scores first, let's say it's 0-0 through a quarter and the Cougars go up 3-0 in the second, for example. When BYU just scores first, no matter how the score or when it comes, as long as they're the first team to get on the board, under Kalani, they're 40-9, including 9 consecutive wins. So they're just, you give them a lead, and it holds up. And today, of course, a 21-0 lead's a bit of an outlier, but it held up, and they needed all of them, but they got those points and put Baylor on its heels early. And under Kalani, the Cougs really know how to hold a lead.
I want to address something that I see as kind of a trend on X and through social media. And, you know, people talking about Aaron Roderick and his play calling and his second half play calling. And, well, you're calling plays like you've got a lead and you've got – it's interesting to me because I watch these games from an offensive lineman standpoint. So my mind is in a game and my down and distance and what would I like and what do I want. And it's really strange, Greg, because – my brain just sits kind of in Aaron Roderick's realm. When people question his play calling, I question their question.
You question them.
Yeah, because it's like, no, I get it. I get it in that 3rd and 8 when he ran that draw. I had no problem with that run because he's thinking, well, I want to get myself to 4th and 2 or a 4th and manageable, and then we'll go for it on 4th because they've had such great success. What are they, 10 of 12 now on 4th down conversions?
Yep. Yes.
He's had such great success. He knows, he feels confident in it. He wants to get himself to a manageable. I just differ from, I think, some people that are out there questioning anything with Aaron Roderick and play calls. I see what he's trying to do, what he's trying to set up, the defenses that he sees. Dave Aranda is trying to get aggressive. He's got everybody at the line, and it's a big – it's a big shift in momentum. He wants a toss back, double pass to Chase, from Chase Roberts on down the field to Tava Tase, and I see it. So for some reason, I'm kind of living and feeling in the Aaron Roderick play call system, and I'm really good with it. Mitch, I don't know about you, but there has not been times where I'm like, well, what's Roderick doing? I kind of understand what he's doing and almost in every given moment.
Yeah, it's hard to judge play calling because – we're so, especially as fans, even me at times, like you watch something, if it doesn't work, you always question the call. If it works, you never question the call. And that's just what's hard about being a play caller. Like, but I think especially those first, in that first half, I mean, Aaron Roderick was calling a gem. The touchdown to, was that the first touchdown, the one to Miles Davis? Was that the first?
Yeah, on the wheel.
Yeah, on the wheel route. He runs a double post. They pull, but right before that, because I think they threw Keelan Marion in motion, and they ran a jet sweep with, I can't remember who it was before that, and just the way that he develops and sets up these play calls that then you see, you know, the touchdown on the next play, he was preparing for that play call well beforehand and setting up, getting to the right position on the field, getting to the right sideline or on the right hash. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of moments where I'm like, man, like that was masterful. And in the first half it was, in the second half, there's also things you got to consider too. Cause, sometimes the offense got in tough positions. There were a couple drops, pretty significant drops on 1st and 2nd down in that second half. Kingston had a drop on a 3rd down, which I thought was a good play call. It was set up pretty nicely. But didn't execute. Darius had the big drop, or two drops on that one drive that then puts them in a 3rd and long type situation. And so, players got to do their job, and you can't blame the play caller every single time. Everyone's got to do their part. But I don't have complaints to the way Aaron's calling.
Me neither.
Right now,
let's head to social media for a few comments. At Cougar Sasquatch says, like an onion truck in Weezer.
Oh, here we go.
Like an onion truck in Weezer, starting to tip over and lose its load. So did BYU, but luckily saved just enough to escape a disaster.
We are in onion season, Greg.
Go Cougars.
You know, they start school late. We get out for onion harvest.
Yeah, most of the town happenings are geared around
onion harvest.
Onion harvest time.
We all stink,
David Welker, at Dave R. Welker on X, on the BYU, he said the BYU fans appeared to outnumber Baylor fans. Was that the case?
Not quite.
It was probably more Baylor than BYU, but they were pretty spread around where the Baylor fans and the Cougar fans were pretty centralized, and I thought they sounded as loud as you want them to when the Cougs were doing well, and that was most of the day. At Cougar Stats on X says, it's the only time BYU's ever been 3-0 three times in five seasons. So it's the only time BYU's ever had as many as three 5-0 starts in a five-year span. All the football history, Kalani's the only guy to have his team start 5-0 three times in a five-year span. Thanks to Cougar Stats for that. RJM on Twitter, X, has any team ever had both their first and last offensive plays be an interception? That was what happened today. Their first offensive play was a pick, and their last offensive play was a pick.
Wow, I wouldn't even have thought of that just based off of the John Nelson bat and Blake Mangelson interception and then the crew wakely pick to end it.
That's, it bookmarked the game.
That's a good point, man. And that just goes to this defense.
Bookended, I should say.
I want to make one comment on crew Wakely, too. Like, so even before the pick, I'd actually written in my notes because I wanted to bring it up. I think crew Wakely might be one of my favorite players to watch on this team. I love his story, too. He was a guy that came in last year.
Utah State transfer.
Yeah, Utah State transfer. He comes in. There were some injuries. He gets some playing time, and he does his job. He got his opportunity, and he made the most of it. He comes into this year's fall camp and gets beat out. He's lower on the depth chart. I'm sure he had a chip on his shoulder. Like, what the heck? Like, I came in. I performed last year. They're not giving me another chance. He then works his way very, very quickly onto the field because every moment that he had got, especially early on in those first couple games, he made the most of them, especially in that SMU game was when he really started to take over. And he's just been so fun to watch. I think he could be one of the most sure tacklers on this team if he gets an opportunity.
He's gotten bigger and stronger, it appears, from last year to this year.
He's stronger. He's smarter. He clearly knows what he's doing out there. I love watching this kid play, and he's got a cool story, and you can tell he's fighting every single day in practice to earn the playing time that he's getting, and he's now establishing himself as one of the key players on this defense.
That's a great shout out. Spencer Allred on X said he drove 18 hours to celebrate 5-0. Love the Cougars. Shout out to Baylor fans. Super nice. And wanted to know what the day game stats are. Well, the day game stats just got better. We'll say that. Now 3-12 in the last 15 day games. And again, the more BYU wins these kinds of games, it probably already ceased to be a thing.
Yep.
But it was good to just end the streak. Because again, the longer it goes, the more you wonder, is there anything to it? And now you just got to go and just keep winning games, daytime or nighttime. And it will all take care of itself. Ryan Lundgren, by the way, who lost out on the ice cream by a matter of seconds today, who usually he wins every year. He says, at this point, my family says I just need to go buy the 2 half-gallons for them.
No, Ryan, you just got to get quicker thumbs, man.
And
that's
he adds, the defense had its struggles but made key plays down the stretch. Let's get healthy during the bye week and come back strong against Arizona at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Chris Butters on the X Machine says it's been awesome to see this team steadily progress and crescendo this season so far. And indeed it has been. This season, he says, BYU's been great at riding wild waves of momentum. So it was great today to see how well this team could grind when facing big adversity and still come out with a win. Pardon me. Paul Fossen on X says, could you please recap the injury situation? Players who did not play today coming into the game were LJ Martin and Sione Moa and Evan Johnson. They were not available, along with Che Bryant Strother,
the running back. Sione.
So those four players, including two running backs, were not available. Then in the game today, BYU lost Connor Pay and Harrison Taggart and Cody Yeps. And for a short time, but not a long time, Waylon Lapuaho, but he returned. So three absences today, four coming into the game. Of the four that were absent before the game, LJ expected back. Sione Moa, don't know. Evan Johnson expected back. Che, don't know, but it sounded like that was a late scratch, so possibly. As for the guys today, indication from Kalani might have been that Harrison might be okay in 2 weeks. Connor, too soon to tell, and I don't know about Cody. Mitch, what did I miss?
Yeah, no, I think that's it. I was way too much of a frequent in that first half reporting on injuries. That's got to change. And up to this point, I mean, BYU's been, with the exception of the running back position, they've been pretty healthy. But, I mean, this is what's going to happen in Big 12 play.
This was around this time last year when they began to mount and start to really, you started to feel the effect of it.
Yeah, this is hard physical football. And I mean, the sun was beating down really hard. There were a couple players cramping a little bit, not too much where the clock had to stop and guys had to get off. But it's going to wear on them, and they're playing hard, and just hopefully they can, you know, stay as healthy as possible.
Let's take a break. We'll catch our breath here. Come back for one final segment of conversation here from McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas. As we are coming up on 8 hours of our broadcast day today, this day began at 8 a.m. No, is that right? 8 a.m. Mountain Time? Yes. And it's now 3:43 back in the Mountain Time Zone.
I'm ready for eight more. When BYU wins, I'll stay on the mic for 8 hours. I don't care.
We're going to get at least 17 more minutes out of Hans. I know that much. We'll come back and see what else is on X, hashtag BYUCPL, hashtag BYUCPL to be a part of our conversation. Greg and Mitch and Hans. We called a 34-28 win in Waco, BYU's first ever win in Waco. Cougs now own the all-time series 3-2 over the Baylor Bears. More from McLean Stadium coming up after this on the new skin.
You're listening to Cougar Postgame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Greg Wrubell.
Well, on the strength of last week's 38-9 win over K-State, the Cougs got themselves into the AP top 25 and the coaches top 25 at number 22. Now having dispatched Big 12 foe Baylor on the road, what will the polls say about BYU tomorrow? Hans, you were a soothsayer last week. I think, Mitch, you were in the same vicinity with Hans on where they might be in the poll. You said 19-18, you thought top 20 tomorrow?
I think they're either number 20 or number 19. Okay. If I had to bet, I'd put it on 20.
Mitch, your thoughts?
It could potentially depend on.
Yeah, there's a lot of games left to play today.
In that, you know, 16 to 21 range.
But you could see them as high as 16.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that they're going to be 16. I'm saying it probably depends a lot on those, how the result of a lot of those.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, we know Oklahoma State lost, so Oklahoma State's going to drop.
So Oklahoma State was ranked 20th. Lost to a K-State team that BYU beat last week, so you wouldn't think K-State jumps BYU, but number 23 beat number 20 with K-State beating OSU.
Tell you what, Kentucky may jump.
Number 12, Michigan won. Kentucky beat our sixth-ranked Ole Miss. The Wildcats have already lost twice, though. They're 3-2. I don't think 5-0 gets passed up by a 3-2, even though it's an SEC team. So those are finals where you've seen two ranked teams lose already, and then a lot more. Because the game was so early today, there's so much more to come. Number one ranked Texas leading Mississippi State 14-6 at halftime down the road in Austin. Texas A&M, number 24, tied in the third with Arkansas unranked. Number 21, Oklahoma, trailing Auburn 14-7 midway through the third at Auburn. Number 15, Louisville. Number 16, Notre Dame. That's ranked versus ranked. Notre Dame is winning that game 24-14. That's in the third quarter. Number 13, USC trailing at home to Wisconsin 21-17. So some movement is possible. I think top 20 is reasonable to expect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do.
Before we get back to social, in fact, let's do one quick social comment, and then we will get into Hans's pregame keys to the game and see how they turned out in postgame. Tyson Iyer says, great win today. Any way we can get a shout-out for Ryan Richardson. It's his 49th birthday today. Ryan Richardson, wherever you are, happy 49th birthday. And to Sean, who says, how much does getting bruising backs like Martin and Moa back help this offense? And hopefully in 2 weeks you get LJ back. I'm not sure about Sione, but Sione was just coming into his own when he got hurt. And LJ is LJ. What do you think, Hans?
Well, I think that Kansas State put a whooping on that Arizona team, and BYU gets the whooping on Kansas State. So we know what Arizona is, and we're getting a feel for what Central Florida is. You're going to have to be able to put up points against Central Florida. That's bottom line. You're going to have to go on the road, and you're probably going to have to get yourself around that 30-point margin. So you're going to need that staple run game in order to get anything else initiated. LJ Martin being back – is going to be critical. And not only being back, but being healthy, being ready, being in good shape, and ready to take the bulk of the carries. But those two, if you get LJ and Sione back, watch out, man. That's a really pretty 1-2 combo.
I mean, it's good for the run game, but also, I mean, LJ is just great all around. And there's a lot of responsibilities that a running back needs to do. And LJ's comfortable in this offense. He was there last year, and I think that's a big, pass pro, and would be a big part of getting him back too.
At Y Thundercat on X submitted a photo of his BYU porch skeleton, because it is Halloween season now, and his BYU porch skeleton is wearing a BYU jersey, and the jersey number is 7. He says, my BYU porch skeleton called the nail in the coffin of the Baylor Bears chances because Crew Wakely, jersey number 7, sealed the deal with the pick. So let's shout out the porch skeleton belonging to At Y Thundercat on X. Appreciate that. Hans, in your pregame with us, you talked about your three keys to the game. I'm going to run them through with you, and give your postgame thoughts on these.
Let's do it.
And how well BYU did with them. Number one, it was kind of general. You said play your game. What did you mean by that?
They were a better team. BYU is a better team than Baylor. On roster, with the games that they had won to this point, with what they had showed, they were the better team. So essentially, play your game and don't do anything stupid. Now, here's what's crazy. Stupidity almost lost you the game. Now, I know that that guy flopped, and, you know, you can call it the way it is. The guy flopped, but that moment almost cost you the game, that 15-yard penalty. The interception, the batted ball that went up in the air, and the interception that gave them that extra possession there, that almost lost you the game. But you were just good enough of a defense that you could overcome some of those stupid moments, which tells you that this is a really good game, a really good team.
That was key number one. Play your game. You're the better team. Act like it. Number two, offensive adjustments.
Yes, and they did this, and it was awesome. So you replace Connor Pay, and you've got this new offensive line. I can only recount them bringing 5 one time. For probably 90%+ of the game, they brought 4. The problem was it's popcorn 4. They walk 5 or 6 up the line. You don't know which 4 are rushing. And you make those adjustments and you make those moves. They did not give up a single sack against a Baylor team that racked up 8 against Colorado. And the way they did it against Colorado was what I just explained, Greg. Bringing 5, 6 to the line, rushing 4 unique, putting different stunts into the 4 that rush. And Colorado did not make the adjustments. BYU was ready with those adjustments. They settled in, and they created really nice pockets.
Key number 3 for you was deep ball throws. BYU today had three completions of 24 yards or longer, 2 of them for touchdowns, a 26-yard score and a 44-yard score.
Okay, but they did have another 24-yarder, you said?
Yeah, they had 24, 26, and 44. The last 2 were for touchdowns.
Okay. I was close. They were close to hitting that number. I wanted 3 at 30, but if you average those out, we are at 30.
I mean, let's see, 94. Yeah, 31.3 yards.
There we go.
Reception.
Thank you. That's it. That was the number.
You got 3 for 94.
That was the number that I wanted. I knew that deep ball would be open, and there was another one that was dropped by Lassiter that would have been in that 30-yard range. And then there was another chuck at Marion, I think, that might have actually ended up being intercepted. Was that a deep ball to Marion that ended up being intercepted? That first interception?
It was wide for Marion. Yep, intended for Marion.
It was just wide for Marion. But that probably should have been another one. It was good to see them hit a couple of those deep. Oh, and then
the double pass would have been
the double pass. That I was just going to say, man, that no call on the pass interference, the toss. Say, dang it, could have racked up 5, 6 if they would have completed those.
Those were Hans's forward keys to the game. Nice revisit there. Brock Taylor revisiting a trend now for Kalani. He now notes to us that Kalani has road wins against these Power Conference schools. So Kalani's in his ninth season, right? Mm-hmm. He has these road wins at Wisconsin, Tennessee, USC, Baylor, SMU, Michigan State, Cincinnati, Arizona, Houston. Arizona was neutral. Houston, Washington State, Stanford, Arkansas, and two against Boise, which isn't power, but, you know, regional power, if you will. So that's a pretty good resume right there.
Well, let's talk about the road games that you got left. One of them just happens to include your rival,
mm-hmm.
and that is circled on my calendar. I'm hoping that's circled on all of your calendars.
November 9th.
Because I think that is the biggest game that they've got left in their regular season schedule. You got a road game against Central Florida at Orlando. I think that's the third best team in the Big 12 right now. I think BYU and Utah occupy the top two spots, and then I think Central Florida is your third spot. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a very tough one.
And just to amend the note Brock made, sorry, Mitch, they did have a neutral and a road win against Arizona. They did go to Tucson and win.
Okay.
But anyway, Mitch.
Kansas State put up 42 on Oklahoma State today.
You kept them out of the end zone last week, and they scored with regularity. Avery Johnson looked great today, and BYU kind of corralled them. I mean, this defense, through five games, the evidence is there.
They are the real.
Right, you're almost halfway through the season.
Yeah, but so to my point in saying that is Kansas State still potentially a top, you know, three, top five Big 12 team? I think so. BYU just made them look silly last week.
Yeah.
But they brought the hammer this week. Avery Johnson looked great. Ran for two touchdowns, threw for a good amount of yards, and I think a couple touchdowns.
Do you have that schedule? Who does Central Florida play today? I know
Colorado.
That's right.
They're playing right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was mid-afternoon game.
Maybe we need to get home and get those TVs on. That's a game I was just dying to watch. But
they're halftime. Ooh. It's halftime. 27-14, Colorado leading at UCF.
What?
Yeah,
at UCF?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Now, could Colorado come around and be a problem?
I don't know. Do they have to play Utah? If they're for real, they'll give Utah a game. And if they're a typical Colorado team, they won't.
That's a good point. But eight sacks, these guys, it sacked them eight times. I mean, they don't have an offensive line. They don't have a defense. They've got a quarterback in Travis Hunter.
How about KU? Late third, home to TCU. Horned Frogs 2-2, Jayhawks 1-3. The game's being played, by the way, at Arrowhead. This one's actually at Chiefs at Arrowhead today. 24-21, Kansas leading TCU. And then the Colorado-UCF game is halftime. Everything else is later tonight.
Well, TCU is one that is – look, they're starting to get exposed a bit. They're losing some games here. And last week was a bit embarrassing for them. Giving 66 points to SMU. So TCU's got some work to do.
At Lance S. Riot on X says, tell Hans I've got $50 that says BYU's 16th in the AP poll.
Okay.
That's higher than you think they'll be, right?
That's a gigantic. Okay, if they're not, I'm going to
get my Venmo. Okay, he's going to track you down. We're going to give him the DM information and get him on you. Taylor Greenhall says, hoping to add to the last birthday shout-out. It's also my dad's birthday, he says. Taylor does. Vern Greenhall is his name. He said, Vern and my mom, their mom, traveled for the birthday to see the game today in Waco. And they show a picture of them at the game. Biggest BYU fan you will ever meet. So, happy birthday to Vern Greenhall. That comes from Taylor and his family. I'm glad you were at the game here and at McLean Stadium today. Fantastic. A lot of BYU fans in the stands. Always heartening to see. And you could hear them on the radio broadcast for sure. Okay, I guess that should wrap it up from Waco. Hans, you've got a wry smile on your face.
It's because my brain is dumb and I think of stupid things. And have you guys ever seen...
So this is a stupid thing that's going to make it on the air right now.
Have you ever seen A Simple Mind? The movie A Simple Mind? I think it's Simple Mind. The guy that sees...
It's called A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, The Beautiful Mind. That's it. Sorry.
It was like way more than simple.
Simple Mind is a movie about me.
Simple Minds is a band
at
I'd
some
like.
Point.
But Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. And the part where he says, I don't know what's real. And she grabs his hand and puts it on her face and says, this is real. When people are wondering what's real about BYU, you could put your hand on that defense and you could say, that's real. It is real. And I'm telling you, when you got real defense, you got a real team. And I've seen it long enough because I've followed Kalani's career. And Kalani was a great D coordinator. And he's called defenses at a lot of different places. And anytime Kalani had a great defense, you know they were going to have a great team. And this defense is real. And it keeps playing in my head. Well, what's real? This defense is real. What they did against SMU, what they did against Kansas State, what they just did on the road in this stadium, morning kick, holding it to 28 points. Look, I know that's 28 points, but in the past, you'd have these hiccups where you'd see a 34 or a 38-point performance. This defense is for real. They were without Harrison Taggart. They were without Evan Johnson, and they're still for real. They're showing depth. They're showing clarity. They're showing that they can make adjustments. I was talking about wanting to see
man,
because I was sick of them dropping it into the zone. And they rotate to a man, and Maury Bamba's out there running with dudes, knocking balls loose. There's something about a true defense that makes things real. So I've got big plans for this team.
What you just said wasn't stupid at all.
Oh.
Any stretch. That was all profound, good, tactically fundamental commentary about the BYU defense. I loved it.
Well, it's my brain picturing somebody taking my hand and putting it on this defense and saying, this is real.
Having Jay Hill come up to you and put his hand on your face. This is real.
Grabbing my hand and putting it on his face and saying, this is real.
Okay.
That's what had me smiling.
Yeah. All right. We're at the 8-hour mark, and Hans's overtime rate goes way up. So we're going to call it good and say so long from Waco. Our thanks to the crew back at BYU Radio. We had Seth Larson on the board. We had Terry South as the coordinating producer. We had Jason Shepard in the scoreboard studio. We had engineering help from Barry Squires. We had the operations guys, Sean O'Neill and Clark Jackman, involved. And here in Waco, we had the great audio engineer tandem, the Warners, Ben and Lily, on the case. We had Matt Jarvis as our spotter, and they helped us all do our jobs here today. Hopefully it was to your satisfaction out there in Cougar Nation. Great to be with you once again for BYU football. 34-28 was today's final. Back with you in 2 weeks, so we have no coaches show next week. I should say no Kalani show on Tuesday and no game next Saturday. We will have a coordinator's corner in 2 days on Monday. We'll recap this game with Aaron Roderick and Kelly Papinga. Then we will not have a coordinator's corner the following Monday because there's no game to review on the following week. But this Monday, 2 days from now, we will have coordinator's corner with Coach K-Pop and Coach A-Rod in Studio B at BYU Broadcasting. So thanks also go out to both the Baylor and BYU Athletic Communications and Football Communications crews for BYU. Notably, we shout out Duff Tittle and Brett Pine and Kenny Cox, Brandon Despain on the video end, the social media crew, Tyson Hutchins and Stuart Call and others. And that just leaves the guys on the headset. So for the man to my left,
Chili Cheese Dog Hans.
And the man to my right,
Mitch.
My name is Greg Wrubell. Thanking you for tuning in. Cougs, the 22nd-ranked Cougs, get their first ever Big 12 away win, defeating Baylor by a score of 34-28. The Cougs are 5-0 going into the bye week. Enjoy the bye week, everybody. We'll see you back from the gridiron in 2 weeks as the Cougars take on the Arizona Wildcats at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. That'll be 2 weeks from today. We may find the game timeout Monday, and we'll see what they give BYU. Hopefully it's an 8:30 kick on a Saturday night to bring on Arizona. The Wildcats play at Utah tonight, so you can do some advanced scouting on that one. All right, again, my name is Greg Wrubell saying, in the meantime and in between time, this has been BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Good day and so long from Waco, Texas.
You've been listening to live coverage of BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Coverage of today's game has been brought to you by All Pro Capital, celebrating 15 years of creating wealth. By Big O Tires, stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Brought to you by Les Olson IT, the technology partner your business needs. And by Smith's Food and Drug, fresh for everyone. BYU Football is a production of BYU Athletics in association with BYU Broadcasting. special thanks to BYU President Shane Reese, Vice President Keith Borkeek, Athletic Director Tom Homo, and Associate Athletic Director of Corporate Sponsorships, Casey Stauffer. BYU Football is an exclusive presentation of the new skin, BYU Sports Network.